Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What are we talking about here? Orgy? Is it a human sacrifice of some kind?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I've studied the human mind. I've learned how to read it and ultimately control it.
Fascinating. I can't wait to read it.
It's $14.99 on my website.
Okay.
Plus shipping and handling.
Even if I buy it here?
It ships from somewhere else, didn't it? And I've been handling it.
Paul Perillo.
Very attractive man. Can fit a whole octopus in his mouth. Sort of an animal magnetism about him.
And Andy. And Andy?
Do you have any idea what it's like, Tim, to be up to your elbow in a zebra's vagina?
Andy Hart.
What does it make you think of?
I guess it kind of makes me, think of your penis.
Then you get it.
Eric Scalavino.
You know, that is so like you. You call a guy a douche and you get your first museum show out of it.
For now, anyway.
It smells like cabbage on this floor.
That's the smell of dead dreams.
I go to the clubs at night and people are like, hey, who's wearing the coleslaw? You know how hard it is to get laid when you smell like coleslaw?
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh my God.
It's code. You should watch Law and Order. Horses, heroin, grass, marijuana. The horse likes to run around on the grass. The heroin likes to run around on the marijuana. Wine, alcohol, like beer or wine. Oh man, they are planning one hell of a party.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Kind of didn't know where that opening ended. Was that the ending of the opening?
Yes, it was the
end. That was the end of the opening.
So I didn't step on the ending.
No. You stepped on something. You stepped on your beginning, though.
Well, welcome to PFW in Progress, a very special off-season edition of PFW in Progress. The gang's all here. And we're here to talk Patriots for the next 2 hours. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address.
508-543-7482
is the ACE ticket hotline. So, guys, what's going on? Any news?
It's very Christopher Walken like that question.
What's on the top of the news for if you're a Patriots fan? What's the first thing you need to know if you're a Patriots fan? You're tuning into PFW in Progress. What do you need to know first thing off the bat?
Steven Gostkowski looks good and healthy. Sounds like he's healthy.
He's feeling good.
Okay, that's good.
Not a lot has happened.
Yeah, not a lot has happened.
Tuesday,
not,
but that
Devin
was
McCourty
positive.
Said that his favorite interception was the one on Thanksgiving.
All right.
After being announced as one of the greatest Patriots ever.
And Robert stepped up for Jerry Richardson.
That's interesting.
Sort of.
He didn't go all in stepping up.
He didn't say that what he said was okay. He just said, he's a good guy.
Yeah, he's done some good things in the past. Yeah.
That was a lukewarm support.
Yeah, and it was a statement. It wasn't a. So it was a. It was a crafted.
It was well crafted
statement.
It was so well crafted. But beyond that, it's just more of the labor.
Slow. No meetings. Because if there's no reason to have a meeting, Paul.
Bob Batterman told me if there's no reason for meetings, then you don't have meetings. If there's a reason for meetings, you have meetings.
Right.
Did you read that?
He wasn't listening.
No, but I did get the impression in something I read, it might have been Florio, that even though there aren't any formal meetings, there is communication going on. There is stuff going on behind the scenes right now.
It was that post, the same post that I was getting the Batterman quote from. Yeah, there's reason to be, I suppose if you really want to be optimistic, there's reason to... You know, all hope is not lost just because they're not meeting.
Right.
You know, if they had something they were weighing back and forth, that would be different. But, I mean, proposals that they were offering back and forth, but it's more of they're weighing the situation right now and analyzing it from both sides.
I mean, it sounds kind of like a negotiation between an individual player's agent and a team, where sometimes they get close and then all of a sudden they say, oh, the talks are broken now, we're not talking anymore. But they're still exchanging faxes or emails or whatever. So They're not nothing public that's being talked about, but
yeah.
And with somebody is still doing something.
With the exception of the Richardson thing that we talked about on Tuesday, where he was, you know, highly disrespectful, in my opinion, there hasn't really been any things that Eric is describing where, you know, everything is just broken down. Obviously, both sides were upset that day. But, you know, the whole talk about the revenue and the 50% of all revenue as opposed to, you know, the gross revenue
right,
all that stuff. I think that's stuff that both sides are going to have to weigh.
Right.
The owners are going to have to weigh. Is that a, you know, as Florio wrote, is that the first proposal or is that the bottom line proposal? You know, they're going to have to weigh and figure this stuff
sure.
out.
The one thing I was thinking was, earlier somebody or a few people had said, I think Deion Branch was one of them, and said, we're not close. When you hear that, it's kind of vague in that you could be not close on just one remaining issue. Could
right.
be very far apart. Or it's a bunch of little issues that you're not that aren't resolved. So you're not close because you have 8 million things that you have to get across the board. From reading all the things of late, it sounds like they've narrowed it down to two or three
yeah.
major issues,
yeah.
and if they can get those resolved, it's done. So they might not be close as far as agreeing on those particular things, but the number of things that they have to agree on looks like it's shrunk.
I think really it comes down to one or two. It's how much are the players going to get in percentage, and what is that percentage made up of?
And what is real and what is
all? That's it, I think.
That's it.
I think because, 18 games will go away right, like that right. once that's agreed.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's the one.
18 games is a terrible idea to begin with.
This really is about the money.
Right.
And how we're going to split it up.
Sure.
No, I just mean that I think those kinds of things will be resolved easily. I mean,
because those are tit for tat.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't get your 18 games.
We'll give you the franchise. We'll give you the 18. We'll give you the player benefits, the rookie scale.
But the rest.
All that stuff, I think, will be easily settled.
Yep.
Once the main issue is resolved, and that's a big that's a big if,
because then that gets to the mutual growth of the game. What's the best thing for the game as a whole? We're really partners in that. The other part is you got to get the other part done first, though, before we start talking about, you know, what's good for the game, because right now it's what's good for me,
which is why I would wonder, and I don't know that anybody knows the answer to this, how much of is it purely the amount of, or is it also what is included? If they're going to tweak the different total
both.
And all?
It's both.
Because for me, if they've agreed upon what's in it, you know, internet is not in it, but this is in it, and all they're doing is going back and forth on 60%, 59%, then I think it could be done. I mean, you could do that quickly, but if you haven't already agreed upon what the different revenues are and how they'll be counted, to me, that takes longer.
Yeah.
The pure number is just, you know, old-fashioned negotiating. I'm at 60, you're at 57,
meet
we come in at 58.5.
Right.
Okay, boom, let's move forward. But if they're arguing, well, internet or this or stadium rights, whatever they are, malls outside of stadiums, however it all works, to me those are issues that could linger and drag this thing farther than anyone really wants it to go.
The one other thing
I wanted to talk about, there was a New York Times story that I didn't read, kind of read the synopsis of it and the charts that they use, and it was basically about how ticket prices have leveled out. It had a bunch of graphs, you know, the ticket prices going way up, and now they've leveled out over the last 4 years, and TV contracts, how they'd grown by 50% from the last time, but it was only 20% this time, so that's kind of slowing in its growth, and player salaries had doubled over the last. I thought it was a kind of misleading story, and a little bit misleading in that, okay, maybe the owners screwed up and they accepted a deal in 06 in some good times or coming off of good times. Maybe they made the mistake of assuming, okay, business was always going to be rising. I think now they're trying to dissuade the players or get the players to believe that the bad times are going to continue forever, that the economy that we're in last year now is going to last for the next 5 years and we won't grow again for X number of years. And the truth is somewhere in the middle. It might not get as good as it was 04, 05, whatever, but I don't think it's going to be as bad as it is the last couple of years for a decade.
But what the owners would counter to what you're saying is that, okay, but in the deal that we want to do with you, if it does get better, that pie will get better and you'll get more.
Well, that's how it is now. That's how it's been.
But we can't get that pie bigger unless you let us do what we want to do.
But that's my point. The pie is a percentage.
That's the part that the players are disputing.
You know, like the article said, it emphasized that player salaries have doubled or whatever in the last X number of years. Well, that's because your revenue's doubled. The salary cap is tied to the revenues. So the salary cap couldn't double without revenues doubling, correct? Am I wrong there?
That's what the salary cap is based on. Right.
That's how the floor and the ceiling are all just certain chunks of that revenue.
Right.
So by saying that their salary's doubled, you're admitting it was good times. Yeah. Revenue was flowing, baby.
Yep.
But then the owners would say, okay, that's true. Revenues are tied to the salary cap. But there are a certain amount of teams in the league that claim that the salary cap hurts them because they can't keep up with the Joneses.
Right. Well, that's the separate issue of owners dealing with their revenue sharing before they even share with players.
Right, exactly.
But I'm just saying this story to me felt misleading. It felt one-sided. It also had a thing. Public financing for stadiums is a thing of the past, and none of that has been done since whatever,
2006.
Well, no. Robert Kraft told me no stadiums had been done since 2006, so the public couldn't possibly have contributed since 2006 because no deals were done. So showing me a chart that shows $1 billion in 2000 and X number, then going to zero in 2006, 2010, it has to be zero. You didn't do a stadium.
But the counter argument is there are several teams that have wanted to do. San Diego, Minnesota have been trying and they can't.
My point is, maybe the public would have contributed only $30 million to some deal for infrastructure and whatever, you know, a low number.
Right.
I mean, they got some money here for infrastructure.
Right.
So it's misleading to put it at zero, because if you had otherwise found a way to build a stadium, my guess is the community would have contributed something for something. But, so that little pie chart that you have at zero is misleading. It's zero because no stadiums have been built. That's why it's zero. No owners have contributed money to new stadiums either.
But why have no stadiums been built?
Well, that's a separate issue, but my point is the pie chart the bar graph you're putting in front of me is misleading. No owners have contributed to building new stadiums either out of their own pocket. Mm. The zero is zero across the board. No one has built a new stadium.
Well, Jones did, didn't he?
But the project was started and everything.
Yeah.
That's that whole how it's been done. My point is both sides lob these numbers out
there. No, I know.
If you look deeper, they're both BS. The truth is in the middle somewhere.
It's the whole thing with statistics.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean... I don't know.
Well, we'll see.
that ended our CBA talk for the day.
I just wish that, like in baseball.
Can we talk about the nut wizard now?
I just wish they could have mediation and, you know, agreed upon mediator, you know, whatever he decides.
They can't even agree on that.
I know.
You see the stuff with that David Doty?
That's the guy the owners want out and believe will be out as of midnight on March
3rd. Well, they believe that right.
Now the players are saying he's not.
Yeah. They can't even agree on.
Because that's what we talked about a couple weeks ago. That the owner, there's some belief that owners just want to simply get to the lockout because it ends the continuation of that 20-year deal.
They've claimed a lot of things end, and then the other side says, no, it doesn't, you know. So.
There's a lot of stubbornness going on, it seems, too. Like, it could be that they're saying no just because they're trying to be stubborn.
Right. Oh, yeah. They're right now in a fight. When you're in a fight with your wife.
They're being bitchy.
She could say it's Tuesday, and you go, no, it's not Tuesday, even though it really is Tuesday, because you're fighting.
Despite all this,
across the international dateline, it's Wednesday.
Right.
A number of teams.
Screw you, business.
Despite all this, it was business as usual as far as franchise tags. Number of players have been tagged since. The Patriots tagged Mankins.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tom Bahali got one from the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting one because he was a guy that member had been posed as, is he a franchise guy or is he restricted and I can just tender him? Mm. Because he's in the limbo, a five-year, I believe. He's in the limbo state where Mankins was last year. And that's where I get to, well, which rules are we playing with here?
Yeah.
Because if you use the rule from last year, then he's just give him the $3 million restricted free agent tender.
I'll give you $5 for the whole effing thing.
Somebody found some old sound bites that he's just going to put in whether they fit or not.
Is that me?
Is that the guy who poked you in
the
chest?
That poked me in the chest.
The biggest one, though, is Manning, the $23 million, essentially, because of his contract and everything. That's a good chunk of change. Although, not much more than they're going to pay him, so I don't know what it really matters.
No.
Everyone says he's getting north of $20 million a year when he signs.
The question is, are any of these guys going to sign them? Yeah.
I don't think anyone's going to sign anything until they know what the rules are.
Yeah. Yeah, I have no Tom Bahali. Maybe I'd sign it if I were him as a five. Because what if they change the rules and you got to be a six or something?
Right.
I don't know.
Well, will the new deal honor?
The thing about that though too is maybe Kansas City wants to make him the franchise guy anyway, because even the highest tender restricted might not be enough to
keep him.
Yeah.
Right. But
so
if
maybe
I were
they
him,
want to. Maybe they
I would
want
sign
a
the $10 million thing that's in front of me.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Don't give him the option.
But that's also why I was asking, why wouldn't every team just franchise and thinking that no one's going to sign it and pull it back if you have to?
I would think
minute.
Every team would franchise and transition.
Right.
Because everybody has more than one free agent. You know, so why wouldn't you just use them both, saying, we'll figure out what the rules are when we get there, but let's protect ourselves as best as we can.
Like transition light.
Yeah.
You get another year out of light at whatever the number is, 6 to 7 million. It's not ideal, but you paid him 4.5 last year. It's not huge if you don't really want to lose him. And then just pull it back if then you're in kind of a wait and see mode if a player actually signs it. And then if a judge up holds it, Doty.
And then on a signing note, Dick Seymour made out very well in Oakland.
What did you call him? Betty good.
Do you think that was
Dick Seymour?
Do you think that would be
Seymour Dick?
I didn't say that.
Just gay porn.
Do you think that was like an Al Davis tweak
to the Patriots?
No. To the NFL. Sent to all the owners.
Well,
to everybody.
The Patriots. Well, everything is
Patriots. Well, I mean, it's everybody.
Well, then all his signings are tweaks because they're all crazy.
No. I mean, right now.
Well, he certainly sets the bar.
It's nothing crazy.
But it's nothing.
I'm saying
it's nothing
everybody is staying away from signing, making major signings right now.
Right.
Everybody's staying away from that right now. I would think intentionally so. And he just says, you know what? You 31 teams can do whatever you want. I'm going to do what I want. And, I mean, you can make an argument. This allows him to franchise somebody else and not have to worry about Seymour. I mean, it's not a terrible move for the Raiders. 2 years.
It's a great move for Seymour.
It's a great move for Seymour.
He did very well.
His little stimulus plan that he talked about has worked.
I mean, it can be as much as $30 million, but it's probably going to be like 22 and a half guaranteed. Like 20.
22 and a half guaranteed.
So, I mean, that's... There's nothing wrong with that.
Hey, young lady.
It's probably going to be 30. I mean, anytime you have a short-term deal, there's a good chance you're going to reach it, unless you really fall off the map.
Is it really 2 years, though? Because there was conflicting reports.
There was conflicting reports. Some say it's 4. And some say it's 2.
I hadn't seen that. I had only seen 2 years. Oh. That's what Borges.
I only saw 2.
Yeah, it's conflicting. Oh. It's not quite sure whether it's 2
he
or 4.
He got $30 million from the Patriots,
but the
$12 million, and another $30 million. That's $72 million.
And the guarantee number is pretty big, 22 and a half.
Even if you subtract 8, he's only down to $64
million. Yeah.
He'll never get that, though. He'll never get that.
He's doing well.
But the best part is the Raiders have now set the standard at defensive line, punter, kicker, cornerback. They have the highest. They've set the bar at all those positions within the last year, I think, year and a half.
Right.
Even though they need a new stadium and can't possibly do business out there, and the league is falling apart, we can't continue on this business plan.
That's why I'm asking if they would just kind of like a little tweak at everybody.
I don't know. Strippers writes in, he wants to know who did the mock draft page on Patriots.com because he thinks it's wrong. So Chris Ferreira,
Ferreira sucks, Merry Christmas.
Well, if it's wrong because Quinn fell to 17, then that's me.
Well, he said we've got J.J. Watt, Wisconsin, Mike LaShore, running back, Illinois. But Kuiper has Cameron Jordan and Torrey Smith on his mock draft 216.
Yeah, Chris must have used an old mock draft. Yeah. Come on, Chris. If you're going to put a date on it, it has to be up to date.
So we'll see what
furry
happens.
Area.
And I'll be honest, I don't know if Quinny's going to drop to 17.
And was Rodney Harrison's announcement that he's on Twitter now, was that his announcement? Because he is on Twitter now.
I don't know. That's your boy, Paul. Didn't you follow him?
He didn't check in with me.
He's not going to be one of those guys who tweets like Bible passages.
At Rodney underscore Harrison. Is Rodney Harrison's Twitter. But remember he said he was going to have an announcement.
Announcement.
I thought it was
yeah.
Tuesday or Wednesday. He was going to have some announcement.
There's a more interesting announcement coming, Fred. Have you caught wind of this?
What's this?
Our own.
It involves
Patriots.com radio. This is relevant.
Was this with Pete Shepard?
Yes.
Well, what's going on with Pete?
Monday at 5.
Pete's not. There's been
you should
just,
be worried.
Just for a little background, real quick, there's been a little shakeup here in Boston radio.
Good news
out
of Orlando,
week.
Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
That's this weekend.
The midday show on WEEI, Dale Arnold and Michael Holly, it will be no more at the end of the month. Michael Holly is moving full-time to the afternoon show with Glenn Ordway.
I think that's a good move for you.
Yeah. So that's going to be Ordway and Michael Holly, and Dale Arnold is going to be relegated to fill-in duty. He will no longer be a host.
Jack of
all
trades.
They're going to go with young guys, younger guys, I should say, Mike Mitnansky and... Lou Maloney.
I think they've just handed the midday to Greshenzo.
Right. So now they'll be losing in all three shows.
Well,
they're already losing
that
in the morning.
That was
the
only.
That
was
the
only
one
show
they winning
had.
In.
They're winning in the morning. I mean,
no,
they're losing.
They're
in the
They're losing
really?
In everything.
I didn't think the Twitcher and Rich is beating them.
Yes,
I would argue they just handed the midday to somebody else. I don't know who. KISS WBZ or KISS 108 or 94.5.
Well, I'm just talking about I think 0.0 is a red trumbull. I'm not talking about number one and number two.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about those two.
Deal with Zoe would be interesting.
So anyway, Pete Shepard, who is the host. Is just the Pete Shepard show? Is that the name of his show for us?
For us, it was the Pete Shepard show.
Are we going to have Pete and
the
Dale
host
together
of Pete,
on
the Pete Shepard show here, obviously a former WEI employee, not happy that he is no longer relevant in the Boston market and can't get a job anywhere. Very upset about it. He's been posting incendiary comments on his Facebook page.
Yeah.
And Kevin's been relaying them to me. Says... the latest, I'm paraphrasing here, Kevin, help me out.
Yeah.
He will, if his demands are not met by Monday at 5 p.m.
There's going to be a bomb dropped.
There's going to be a bomb dropped
on
Boston radio.
You mean he's got some news?
Yeah, not just
the news.
He's
naming names. He's calling people out. He's
Fred,
not happy.
Fred, this includes you. You're Boston.
You could be one of those idiot program directors
if these program directors, if these program directors can't get it right, he's going
to
be
so wait a
ripping.
Minute. He's trying
people.
To blackmail himself into a job.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah,
it sounds like he's pretty
he's
much going to air. Yeah. He's going to air every piece of dirty laundry he knows
to
if
everyone.
Because
he even says,
Monday.
For those of you, you know, for the friends that are going to fall under it, I apologize in advance for the Fuhrer or whatever.
He said
stuff.
Basically, he said, if you want to, if you want to bleep me, then bleep you. I'm coming to get you.
Yeah,
something like
that's
that.
That's what
oh
he
my
said.
God.
Ken Walter rants. Lou Marlone. Lou Marlone? Are you freaking kidding me?
I love Walter!
That's what Ken Walter says.
Ken Walter on the show now?
I can't say that I'd be too into listening
Ken Walter
to
and
Lou
Marlone, I mean, not the character, but if Ken Walter were in radio, he has a longer, more impressive career than Lou Marlone.
Exactly.
It'd be like him becoming this big football guy. I mean,
Triple A Lou.
He's got rings and was a key player on championship teams.
I don't understand why they don't call Paul. And I'm not saying that to be funny.
I knew
funny.
This was going
to
be a shot.
Paul?
I knew this was going to
work. If I was Paul, I'd be worried about Pete because they work
together.
I'm
not holding anybody hostage. I'm not making any demands. Why are you making fun of me?
You would kick both Marlone and Mushansky's ass.
Mushansky.
Mutnansky.
What?
Igor.
Mutnansky.
Igor Olshansky.
Mutnansky?
No, I'm serious. You know. So
I'm all for it.
I think this show right here will be kicking Marlone and Mutnansky's ass.
Joe Hidjamino.
Why don't we offer it up? Go to him and say, when those two fail, we'd be happy to fill the slot. We're ready to go. There'll be no transition
when you're done
phase.
With the cleansing,
booyah.
When you're done with the cleansing period, hire people that can entertain and inform.
I'm going to be sitting here with no show to produce.
You can come with us. You can be our producer.
Yeah, for $8 an hour. That's what they pay their producers.
I don't care.
What are you making now?
I don't care. He says.
More than $8 an hour.
$8.50.
$98.5 pays their producers double to start.
Just so you know, if you really work the hours you tell us you work, you're probably not making more than $8 an hour.
Oh, that's
you're really
true.
Here
good
at like
point.
4 a.m. on good Sundays point. For games. And
if you average it out.
Right.
Good point.
I've done the math before. It doesn't work well.
So Monday at 5?
Monday at 5.
This Monday
five,
at 5.
Maybe you should have him do it here as a podcast.
It's a holiday.
Does he realize it's a holiday?
It's a holiday. Can he push it back to Tuesday?
Yeah. Or tomorrow?
We'll move it up.
We should, if he can wait till Tuesday, we'll let him do it on our show.
Well, we're going to have a button ready to drop him quick if he starts saying.
Yeah, plus, what if he starts saying things that are outrageous? I don't want to be associated with that.
Yeah.
We'll do a disclaimer. The views of Pete Shepard and Pete Shepard's alone, they do not reflect.
This is a.
Don't blame us for what this nitwit said.
I mean, what could he possibly have? You know, people cheating on their wives and stuff like that?
Yes.
With men?
Yeah.
Yeah, dirty,
with
dirty
men?
Stuff.
What have you heard?
No, I'm just
I'm saying.
Saying
he could say
no, but it's going to be.
You're never
going to
be like Zolak.
Fred, it's going to be personal stuff. It's not just going to be business.
No, I know. I would imagine, right? Because who cares about business?
Yeah, that's really
right.
Going to endear him to people who want to hire him.
EEI is using the Providence ratings. Who cares? You know? I want some juice.
I'm compelled.
I am compelled. Too. It's you know,
Andy,
wrestling.
Andy might even get on Facebook.
I'm looking forward to it.
The question is, what are his demands? What is it? What is
he wants a job? I would assume.
Yeah, that's not the way. You know, like, I don't know.
Wait.
So you're gonna hire this guy that, you know, that makes sense.
Does this mean that
I hope he's not gonna make fun of us?
Well, since none of you know how to use Facebook, really, so does this mean you're all going to be huddled around my cube Monday at 5 to see?
No,
it's a holiday.
It's a holiday.
No, I won't be anywhere near
yes,
Fox.
I stand by my.
I'll have my BlackBerry. Send me an email.
All right, I'll send you an email because I'll be here Monday at 5, no doubt about it.
President's Day, yo.
It is an off
I'll
day.
I'll still probably be
I got to respect my prez.
Word.
I missed a lot of time with this head injury. I got a head, remember?
Yeah.
You got head?
Where? Questionable.
I had the CAT scan this morning. had to be there at 6:30.
Is that why you got into the accident?
Stunk.
Roadhead?
You ever had one of those things, Andy?
Roadhead?
Yeah, that's how I got in the accident. Drove right in the side of a truck.
I have done that.
You've given?
No.
Have you been contacted by the company of the truck driver?
No, yeah, my lawyer's going to take care of that.
Oh, you got a lawyer.
I've lawyered up as of yesterday.
Wow. Probably a good call. Hey, lawyer.
Dvorkin's his lawyer.
Yeah. Actually, his wife's a lawyer. His wife's the lawyer.
Yeah, but you want one.
Oh, really?
You want a sleazy guy right now.
That's who you want. You know, the personal injury lawyer. Yes.
Right.
Who you gotta
you want
go
an
after.
Ambulance chaser.
Jim Sokoloff.
Jim right. Sokoloff.
Because this is a layup for an ambulance chaser.
I got referred. I got to look at cars, too, because now that mine's officially totaled, I got to find a way to get to work at 4 in the morning every day.
Sure.
Right. Can't have this rental car forever, right?
No.
Yeah, taxis don't even run that early, do they?
That's true. It'd be tough to get a taxi at
3 a.m. Hire a limo service.
Personal driver.
All right. So what else we got going on?
I just posted.
We're going to the Combine next week.
Yes, we
combine
are.
Combine next
oh,
week?
Oh, yeah. Tell people to send in their any specific players they want highlighted.
And where should they send them to?
To you. Ask PFW.
Ask PFW.
Not whatever. At your email address?
No.
No?
We don't give that out.
Yeah, no.
Web radio or ask PFW.
Very hard to figure out.
Limit one per email. I don't want to give. Don't give me a list of 17 outside linebackers and 22 pass rushers.
Or visit the blog and comment there.
Or yes, I just posted something on the blog. If you want to use that as your way to get in touch with us, I just posted the list of free agents and how I would prioritize them.
You posted that?
Yes, that's now on the blog.
Patriots,
check it out.
Patriots free agents,
because they're the only ones that really exist. All you can do right now is re-sign your own free agents. That's all the only factual thing you can talk about. Obviously, Mankins is one. Who's number two, Fred? I like putting him on the spot here. Don't help him, either of you.
Okay.
Who's the number two prioritized
for
free
me.
Agent?
For me.
For you.
You know, it could vary by
Jimmy is still under contract.
Yes.
Yeah. So, just so
Gronkowski's
you know.
Still under contract.
Yeah, he's still under contract.
Rookie deal. Right.
I'm not going to help him out, but what's the question?
Is Gerard Warren a free agent?
Prioritizing
In fact,
New
he
free
is,
agents.
And in fact, he's the answer.
Okay.
Well, what'd you say, Fred?
Gerard Warren.
Okay, I am good. Very, very impressed with you, Fred.
Thank you very much.
That had a little tone to
good
it.
Good, Fred.
So you got that going for you.
Right.
Third, I went with a restricted free agent.
BJGE?
Yes. Because while I don't think he's great, if you don't
there's
have
not much
him,
else there.
You don't have a running back. You don't have a ground game. You don't have anything to line up back there. Mm. And fourth, I went with a sentimental pick.
I wasn't listening.
I know. I'm not talking to you anymore.
Oh, okay.
Kyle Arrington?
He's exclusive rights. He's not included in my list. He can't leave.
All right.
Now you
can't.
Now you can't leave.
I went with Kevin Faulk as my number four.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Fred, have you seen that?
Why not?
The email that came in before the show started with the screenshot. Have you taken a look at that of NFL.com?
Oh, we also have to read that other email.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't really got to the email.
No, yet. I know, but okay. Just the one that we were talking about in the office yesterday.
Oh yeah.
Oh. The guy
who was all upset.
No, we'll talk about the guy that was upset, and then we'll go to break. But no, the guy was upset because he told us that everything in life was more important, and then sex was the last thing. And we merely said you probably then need to get a
hotter girlfriend.
No, I think
he said
it was Patriots, his sex, priorities and breathing.
Whatever.
PFW in right. progress.
But I guess his girlfriend heard, and she was very upset, and was you know, and he was
so
mad
which
at
I said,
us.
I think she's upset at you.
But,
because obviously you'd rather listen to a lame radio show than, you know,
well,
do it.
But I think
her.
The point is he was
it's
kidding.
It's one of those things like pornography. You know,
we knew
when
he
you
was
see
kidding
it
around.
It. Right.
I don't understand why he doesn't know we were kidding around.
Fred's like, how come he doesn't know we're kidding?
You know?
Puss and all that.
And then he sends an email saying, I have the hottest girlfriend in the world. No, you don't. She's looking over your shoulder as you type this sentence. That's why you're typing that sentence. You don't really have the hottest girlfriend in the world.
Yeah.
And nobody would write that.
And why would she be listening
Who
to people in
that?
Progress yeah. in the middle
Just
of the
Just say
work
you're
day.
Happy with your girlfriend or whatever. I'm not the hottest girlfriend
Maybe
in the world.
Maybe we got punked. Maybe he's only kidding about that.
He's probably laughing right now.
He also misspelled that. He used effing many times, and he misspelled it a couple of times.
Well, that's
too.
All right.
He spelled
people do that to get around C filters and stuff.
K. Wrong? E-N.
Oh, that's okay.
See, you know, he was slang, kind
of. All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a quick break.
How do you start
we'll
that
We'll be right
word.
Back with all your emails.
This is Rich Eisen of NFL Network. Where do I go when I want my latest fresh, hot Patriots information? I go to PFW in progress.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit verizonwireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Now's your chance. Hit up the PFW guys at 508-543-7482 or email webradio@patriots.com.
All right, back here in PFW. Hey, Mark writes in. He sends us a screenshot of a front page of NFL. They had a poll, and the poll question was, which non-playoff team will make the postseason in 2012?
Skipped right over 2011.
Technically,
the playoffs will be in 2012.
Right, but yeah. So everyone's like,
that's not what they were thinking, though.
Wow.
Someone messed up.
I think they messed up, right.
Yeah. Or they didn't.
Or they know.
Didn't. Or they didn't.
Well, that's the speculation. You know, do they know that?
It's like when Chris Ferreira does this. He puts something up that's stupid and people read into it. Other than just, you know, a mistake. I don't know what that was.
Anyway,
a mistake.
Take that machine away from him.
He's concussed.
Chris writes in.
Speaking of mistakes.
He says, Kevin, I hear you having issues with getting to work. I heard there's a recently unemployed, disgruntled man looking for a job. I'm sure Mr. Shepard would love to help in the production of PFW in Progress.
Or he could drive me to work every day. That's what I was thinking. He could be my chauffeur.
That's the point of the email, I thought.
I thought he said help in the production of PFW in Progress.
I thought getting you here would be helping.
You two have been going at it for the last 10 minutes between your lunch order.
I didn't know Pete could produce. That's all. I didn't know. Sorry. He asked me to do all the production work before his show, so I assumed that he couldn't do it himself. That's all.
Brooklyn Matt says,
I'd be careful what you say because you could be lumped in Monday at 5. Yep. Fred, you should be worried.
Bumped into Davola, buddy. You're next.
Brooklyn Matt says, Kevin is always so desperate to chime in with his 2 cents on the show that he purposely slams his car into a tractor trailer just so he'd have something interesting to add for a change. Good idea, Kevin. Good. We're glad you're okay, but please don't risk your life just to make yourself appear more interesting. I agree with that.
He's right. I'm pretty boring.
You know, we don't need to do that.
Weber, I saw more of Kevin's car when I drove home yesterday. There's still pieces there.
Really?
I was looking for it on the way.
Oh, there's still a few pieces.
It's like right in the middle of the intersection.
Yeah. It's 2 miles south on Route 1.
There was a lot more the other day. Now there's just a few fragments. It's slowly getting.
The raccoons and stuff have taken, you know.
The other day there were like pieces that were good size.
Yeah, no, my lunch ended up all over the floor of the car.
Speaking of that, just a quick aside. I heard a case recently. You know how they always emphasize that and 30-pack of Bud Light was found strewn across the road? Well, so if you ever get into an accident on the way home from the liquor store, it means you're a drunk?
No.
Like, they always say that like it indicates definitively that the person was drunk, was drinking, it was his fault. Like, you can't get into an accident?
Well, if they're empties.
No, this one didn't say empties. Empties is another thing.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
But that's always bothered me. Like, there were groceries strewn across the road. Well, she was on the way home from the grocery store. Like, it doesn't say anything if there were cans that fell out of a 30-pack. You're not allowed to transport alcohol?
Yeah, it could be Super Bowl Sunday.
Right.
You're going to get
you
stuff
for your
party. You
had 6 30-packs in the car for the, I mean, or a Friday night at Paul's, whatever.
I was waiting. I was waiting.
That's irresponsible journalism.
Yeah, it is, and there's a lot of that going around these days. I'm glad we don't partake.
All right.
Lunch is here, Andy.
Okay, go
so
get
you
it.
Can rest easy.
508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket
that didn't
Hotline.
Sound right.
Web Radio.
The first time he said that.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. let's see.
That's Cartman's album.
Matt,
that one.
Matt,
that
one. Just Fred's going to get mad right now.
Matt in Virginia writes in.
What?
He says, I'm a PhD student at a good state school. Over the years, I have taught
I'm
dozens
going with Virginia.
Of our
state
athletes.
School in Virginia?
And
go
have
Cavs.
Some observations. Our school is a powerhouse in many sports, men's, women's soccer, basketball, men's, women's lacrosse, tennis, field hockey, to name a few. Football and basketball have been mediocre at best for the last 5 years I've been here. If you play football for our school, you are significantly more likely to be convicted of a crime than to be drafted by the NFL. I have only met 2 football players and heard of 1 basketball player who take academics seriously.
Matt Schaub went there.
These individuals are impressive.
Or Vince Red.
But they are so rare that it is a slap in the face for people like me who go thousands of dollars in debt for the privilege of teaching them. Where the NCAA system – why is he talking about NCAA? That was like a 3-week-old conversation we had. Anyway, he says – where the NCAA
people
system,
download the podcast at different times.
Where the NCAA system works best is in lower profile sports, particularly women's. All NCAA teams are required to take up no more than 23 hours a week, excluding travel, of their players' time. The fact that a good number of them manage to get an education tells me that these fools ballers have no one to blame but themselves. In your discussion of the CBA, I think Paul said that after the average NFL career, these guys have few skills to fall back on. While I agree with this, that's not my problem or fault. The jobless rate for college graduates has been below 6.4% during this recession. After receiving thousands in scholarship funds, if these knuckleheads don't have the skills to compete in the market after their fleeting careers, then screw them! As a taxpayer, indebted student, and NFL fan, I think we have already given the average NFL player far more breaks than he deserves. Who wrote this? Jerry Richardson? These guys gamble. They know that making enough money to last you the rest of your life is a serious long shot. At graduation, they have a choice to go into the real world job market, just like most of their peers, or bet that they'll be an exception to the rule. Our capitalist system is based on risk taking, not cushioning some people from the hardships of real life. Thanks. You guys are keeping me going after such a pathetic defeat in back-to-back playoffs. Sure, I'm spoiled, but I'll take a 9-7 season with a playoff victory over our 14-2 season any day. And whatever became of the Revis Ryan foot video, was it debunked? I think that was just a photo, actually. It wasn't a video.
It was a photo, and I don't know what happened.
I think it just fell out of the headlines.
Yeah.
People forgot about it.
That's a good question, though, not the Revis one. Would you rather be 9-7 and win a postseason game or have a significantly better record and lose in the first round?
I don't think postseason game? Yeah, it doesn't matter.
14-2.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah.
I think 14-2.
I can chalk that
4 months
to,
of
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, I can chalk that up to an upset, too. Right. You know, right. And I can say, okay.
But even that, like, you felt good about yourself for 4 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas the other way, you don't feel so good about yourself for that entire span.
Right, exactly.
And then you get one week where, great, we won a playoff
game.
Right,
and then you're going to lose
the next week.
Right.
I'll take 9-7 and a Super Bowl win.
14-2, right. At least you won.
But I'll even take 9-7 in a deep playoff run. You know, you win two games and lose in the AFC Championship game. You know, I'll even take that. Because you feel like you've made more progress and you're building to something instead of, well, we just choked and we fell short. Maybe it was a fraud. Maybe we weren't as good as we thought. Which a lot of that is happening around here. Mm-hmm. In the aftermath of 14-2, it's a lot about, well, we need a running back, we need a wide receiver, we need a pass rusher, we need this. You know, there's a lot of needs, quote unquote, gotta haves for a team that went 14-2. So I would rather go 9-7 and win a couple. I mean, one playoff game. Andy's right, but if you could get a deep playoff run and go 9-7, I'd rather do that. At least I feel like I'm building towards something. The next year, I feel like I'm gonna be good in the playoffs and in the regular season the next year. Right now, you're wondering how many regular season wins does it take to win a playoff game?
Right. Glenn wants to know how he emails the front office. The CBA has officially made me nervous. It's bad enough I may have to miss Pat's games. Take away my paper and podcast. Too much too soon. I want to write an email or a letter. Who do I send it to? I've been listening to the show for 10 years. I love it all. You guys are a critical part of my fandom. Living in Georgia, you are my EEI. On Patriots.com, I think there's a contact us thing on the bottom, and you can choose where you want it to go. One of them is front office. Just send the email. It'll get to the front office.
And please do, especially with the message you want to send.
Yeah. Especially talk about us, how much you like us.
And how much we get
how
you.
How devastated you'd be if we weren't on the air.
And how much you would specifically need us if there were a lockout, regardless of how long, you'd need us to get you through it.
Right. Brett in Boston says, should we be worried about the status of Pete Shepard? Or does that show only happen when the Patriots are winning? Is Pete going to stand by any of his lofty predictions? Maybe he can't take the heat after all. At least the PFW guys are always there, rain or shine.
Well, that's right.
Pete would be here if he... But his deal was only until the season was over.
Well, it's like playbook. Rook is here during the season.
There's another one on Pete's list.
I think Pete would definitely be here if we
offered him.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, guy's got to make a buck, right?
It was convenient for him with the way he spins things to just disappear after the loss.
Wait, was he really boastful? Was he during the show?
You never heard him on the last.
Just assuming
his previous 10 years on EEI.
No, but I think he was very defensive of the Patriots. But was he going out and making big claims?
Yes. Oh, I'm sure it was Jets week. I'm sure he was over the top.
That's what he does.
Right.
When he was making, he was yelling at me and Andy. He was getting all sweaty.
He was.
What'd you get, Andy? For food?
Tuna, but not cookies yet.
Who bought us lunch?
That's a good question. Who did buy us lunch?
Oh, Paul, I think. Paul from London.
Prepackaged cookies. Thanks, Paul. What the hell is going on?
Paul from London bought us lunch. He says,
nice.
Thank you, Paul.
Wow. He said, I thought it was about time to buy my favorite football writer lunch, but Mike Reese was busy.
I'll let that slide.
Here's my three picks for the draft. 17, Justin Houston, outside linebacker. 28, Gabe Kareemi or Anthony Costanzo.
Costanzo.
Who's outside.
He's our new brass sales.
He's a tackle. Both tackles.
It's a bro.
Outside tackle.
And Mikel LeSure, running back at 33.
No, thanks.
Yeah, no, I don't like
him. If we aren't trading up for Miller or Quinn, they are the three guys I want. I'm also intrigued by our safety position next year. The four guys from 2010 are returning, as is Sergio Brown. Then you have McGowan, a former starter, as well as Barrett, who was stolen from Denver. Without an extension to the roster to 56 or 57, I don't know how we keep more than five. I also wish you well for the next few months. We all hope you are talking about the draft this time next year on this show, and this bloody CBA is sorted out. So, we do too. You know what? I go back and forth about, I think they're going to get it done. Oh, no, I don't think. Now I'm back to, I have a feeling something's going to happen. Around March 4th.
Good or bad?
Good.
Like maybe a temporary extension or something?
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's going to sound like we're kind of being contrarians, Fred, because we weren't as optimistic when they were announcing that.
Right.
But I agree with you. Just because they're not meeting and just because it looks like it's inevitable to me doesn't end all hope. Now, I still think there's going to be a lockout. That's how I felt all along. But I don't think it would be impossible to get this... You know, nothing's going to happen until we get to that time, right? You get 48 hours or so within that deadline. Then I would worry if it does get to a lockout, what their motivation is to get it done.
Right. Well, because the we've got the combine
much beyond that.
We've got the combine starting next week and running until basically the following Monday, the end of February, beginning of March. The owners are scheduled to meet among themselves down in where, Fort Lauderdale, I think. The week of
I don't know.
The first week of March. Did you see that somewhere too, Paul? I thought I saw there was a meeting scheduled March 2nd or 3rd down in Fort Lauderdale among the owners themselves. Just the owners, but so, you know, there's still opportunities. I mean, next week at the combine could be big because everybody's going to be there. So you have to think somebody's going to get together with somebody and start having some sort of conversation.
I think they're talking right now, but
not, I'm
not
formally. Optimistic. I've gone the other way from you.
You're going the other way.
Yeah.
Okay.
September.
Ugh. That's
no,
good.
No, I think there's going to be a lockout. I don't, you know, I do. I don't know how long it's going to last. I think there'll be a lockout. Over there.
Well,
oh, please.
Rob in Connecticut says, hello, gentlemen, manly men, and or sissy boys of PFW. You decide who is whom.
We have.
Have you guys seen the trick shot quarterback video that's been making the rounds on YouTube, NFL Network, and the evening news? In it, Johnny McEntee, UConn's redshirt junior backup quarterback, makes several unbelievable throws. In your opinion, are those throws possible, or is this some type of film editing chicanery?
They're all possible, no question.
Have you seen it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I haven't.
We were ahead of the curve.
We saw it when it had like 1,000 views or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
Now it's 4.5 million or... Well, it's gone viral.
Is it real?
Yeah.
Apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
So what is the guy doing it?
Just a lot of crazy, you know, knocking water bottle off a teammate's head from 10, 20, 30, 40 yards. Going goalpost, crossbar, goalpost on three consecutive throws. Bink, bink, bink.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like a pool shot.
Basketball court doing a backwards free throw over...
Oh. Andy just did a backward free throw with lettuce
salad
in his face.
Into his face.
He threw food at himself.
And then as he hits that, he takes another football and throws it the length of the court, swish into the other.
One.
They're all very believable. Yeah. The only question is, how long would it take you to do each individual
and he
one?
Said, and he did appear on WEEI and talked about that. Some of them took a lot longer
like
than
25
others.
Takes. Yeah.
So it wasn't
but
like
they did
he,
it all in one day.
Yeah, it wasn't like he just did them all. You know, never missed. Hmm.
He was sitting but up in like the top
only ones
nosebleed
to me,
seats and threw one down to the court and it went in.
That's the one I think he said was the hardest. That was the 25 taker.
Yeah, and that's
for good reason.
The
he
only
was a mile away.
The only stuff to me that was questionable was that the stuff in the basketball court. And I talked to Andy about it when it happened. I asked him immediately because someone had sent it to me. Actually, I think no. Someone one of the London guys sent it to me, I think, and. Asked if it was legit, and I said to Andy, the only thing that I question is the basketball stuff. Everything else I think you could do in a field house during the course of a day or whatever. The funniest thing is there's a car that drives by with a domino sign on it. He hides behind a snowbank, gets up and throws the football and hits the domino sign
knocks
as the car's driving, knocks it right off the car.
Wow.
And the
car keeps moving. Apparently yeah. didn't hear it or see it or
no,
whatever.
He knew. He the guy, it was all
oh,
set
he did?
Up. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He knew, the guy knew it was happening.
So the guy's a redshirt quarterback.
Redshirt junior.
He stinks.
Oh, redshirt junior.
Yes.
Stinks. Oh, okay.
He can't play.
I was going to say, is this guy?
They had terrible quarterback play last year, used three or four different guys. He was not one of them. His career is clearly in the trick shot world, not in the NFL.
All right. Well, when the circus comes to town, you can see him. 508-543-7482 is the A-Stick hotline.
Put him out at Patriot during yeah. training camp in the Patriots experience.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. You can, you know, you could hire him to do that throw in the carnivals where you knock the guy into the dunk tank.
I'm terrible.
He'd never miss.
Terrible.
As long as we can put you in the dunk tank.
See, I'm very accurate. I have a good arm. I'm very accurate.
Laser rocket arm.
Whether it's darts or anything, I'm very accurate.
He would make Brady and all the other quarterbacks look silly with that bucket drill that they do
yeah,
in training camp.
Right.
That was one of the ones he did too. Was a bucket. Mm-hmm. Knocked it right in.
And he did the bucket from up on the stairs, through the screen, 40 yards away. I mean, he did everything. You
wow.
should see it, Fred.
I'll tell you what was kind of cool, too, is he throws a football across the field and he one hops it and hits a door. And you know those doors that open with like a bar across it? That's how you have to unlock it. So he lets a guy in from the outside by one hopping the throw, and it perfectly hits, and the guy opens the door and walks in.
Wow.
It's a good video.
He does it twice.
Yeah.
Huh.
Trick shot Andy.
Greg from Calgary, Canada, just wanted to say this about the owners not opening their books. The owners are making the claim that they are doing poorly. Carl Sagan used to say that a party making a claim is obliged to provide evidence for that claim.
Why is a Bruins rookie talking about?
The claim that owners are not
doing Brooklyn Matt. Tyler Sagan.
The claim that owners are not doing well as revenues go through the roof is extraordinary. And as Sagan said, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Who's Carl Sagan, Andy? Well, he could have had a great career, except he blew out his knee at the combine. Keep up the good work. No, I think.
DeMarcus.
Carl Sagan is a scientist.
Yeah. Astronomer.
I knew that.
Billions and billions of stars. That's what he used to always say.
Always?
That was what he was known for saying.
You spent a lot of time with him?
Billions.
I remember Carl. He used to always say billions.
Well, was
that
he
crazy
the host,
Carl.
Was he the host of Nova at one, or did he have his own show?
I don't, what did you do now?
What are you, you're throwing food all over the place.
It fell because we didn't get the good soft warm cookies this week. We got the crunchy prepackaged choco chip not-so-good cookies.
Who's complaining?
Were my mom's cookies better than that, Andy?
Oh, yeah, your mother's cookies were far moister.
Here we go.
Another side topic to bring up in this, you know, lack of football
you
content
your muffins,
hour.
They're moist.
Did you watch Watson on Jeopardy last night, Fred? Have you watched any of it?
No, but I heard he did well.
He did, but he had some embarrassing snafus.
Oh, yeah?
The, like, Final Jeopardy the other night, the category was U.S. cities, and he guessed Toronto. And didn't get it. He killed him. I mean, he had 32,000 going into Final Jeopardy and only bet $900.
I'd laugh if, you know, that snafu happens. You see Chris Ferreira come out from behind and start pushing buttons.
But it was interesting to watch.
Kevin comes out with that baseball hat. He put perch on his head. He's rubbing his forehead.
Because I think the big picture perspective, it was funny. He killed him. He was great. But then he guessed Toronto for a U.S. city, and they're trying to say this would be great for healthcare because there's so much information in healthcare that doctors can't possibly keep up with. So he kind of showed that in the, I picked up $32,000 along the way and wiped the floor with him. But then he showed you don't necessarily want the computer deciding how to do the surgery. You know what I mean? There, he made a big mistake that if that's in healthcare, that could be your life. So
right,
it wasn't exactly the fear of, we're done as humans. Computer's going to replace us at everything.
Yeah,
you still need the humans.
I have a broken arm. What's the... what's the treatment? Radiation.
Right.
Yeah.
But what this was the biggest experiment in was it's the first time that you had really clear evidence that you can use contextual language in the nuances of language. And, you know, because Jeopardy, you know, two words can mean the same thing. And a human would know because they know it in context. You know, BlackBerry, when you're talking about technology, is a phone, but when you're talking about food, it's a fruit.
He had some issues
but
with
computers
that.
Wouldn't necessarily know that, and that's what this was the biggest test of.
He had some issues with that. He did better at that than I thought he would, but he had some issues with that. And I told these guys, one of the things I found funny is when he answered, or actually every question, they would put on the screen what he's thinking, what his first choice answer was, how sure he was, a percentage. Like, he would only guess, I think, if it was over 50. But a lot of them were 98%. He knew the answer. But if you looked at his second or third choice on those, it was always way outside the box,
really?
Like really different than the first. Hmm. So some of those were interesting.
How did he click in to say that he wanted to answer?
With his little wire hand.
I mean, because it seems like that might be an unfair advantage. Like, you know, a computer knows instantly how to...
It was unfair. That's why...
Yeah.
So did he get, like,
that was the biggest
first,
thing. Ken Jennings,
question?
You could see... A number of times was like, I knew that.
I don't think he got any more answers correct than the other two contestants, but he buzzed in
right.
Quicker consistently.
Oh, and his other thing was, there was a question about what decade, and Ken Jennings incorrectly guessed the 1920s. So then Watson buzzes in and goes, the 1920s. And Alex goes, Ken just guessed that.
You get mad at him.
He was talking down to the computer.
He scolded the computer.
And he always had weird bets on daily doubles. It was always like, 347 or 927. It was these weird numbers, which was kind of quirky. I don't know why.
Right.
It was very interesting. And aside from the Toronto thing, I think it was a great ad for IBM. It was a great marketing campaign. I mean, because everybody was talking about it, watching it, right up until he guessed Toronto for a U.S. city.
Might as well be. G4 Driver writes in, hey, guys, I'm sure it's probably been asked before, but what happens to you if there's a lockout? I think it would be a huge mistake if management lets you go.
Me too.
You provide a link between
Patriots.
The team
.com. Go to,
and its fans.
Us.
And if you aren't around to do that, a lot of fans might lose even more interest and won't have any way to keep up with what's going on. I think Mr. K has more business sense than to allow that to happen. Keep up the great work. I love listening when I can.
Go to Patriots.com. What is it? Feedback or contact us?
Yeah.
At the bottom.
Front office.
Yep.
Send an email and express your thoughts.
Right.
Everyone, please.
Please, yeah.
All of our listeners. Our jobs may depend on it at some point.
And he's not exaggerating like he is wont to do.
Again, thanks, Paul from London, for lunch today. Very nice of you.
Very, very
read
nice.
His email.
Yeah, did you see that soccer kick? The goal that's been the reigning play of the week.
Oh, Rooney?
The bicycle kick. Tremendous.
Yeah.
If soccer
he's a good player anyway. That's, you know.
I thought he was kind of done. Mm-mm. No? Underachiever? No.
He's in his prime.
Yeah, he's only like 26.
Yeah.
Why has he been so inconsistent lately?
Well, because he didn't do well at the World Cup.
Yeah, he was getting a lot of criticism.
Yeah.
So I'm up on this stuff. So.
Well, plus you just blew your load with how much you can offer on this topic.
Well, it's pretty much the same on any topic other than, you know, strictly the four major sports.
Let's see. Derek says, I feel so bad for you guys sometimes. I mean, really, this dumbass sent in a joke to a sports talk radio show that he thought would be funny, and when his girlfriend walked in and heard that he wrote in, now he cares? Stop being a little bitch and man up.
I agree.
That's what Derek said.
Yeah. Like that. Yeah.
Yay. Yeah.
And he also says, have you watched tape of players yet? I want to talk draft.
Nope.
Andy, new Arizona Binky this year. Brooks Reed, defensive end. He will convert to linebacker and is an early third, maybe second round prospect. Any players at any positions that really stick out to you?
No. No film yet.
We're getting the film any day now.
Be patient. We haven't even gone to the combine.
It's a long process. I'll give you my opinion, boy.
And Chris clarifies he meant, yes, Pete Shepard would drive Kevin to work, not do the production.
So. Good, so that settled that argument. Now you guys want to settle the argument over
the
lunch
argument.
Misorder?
Between those voices in their heads?
I'm not really upset at Kevin about the lunch.
He did the best he could.
I didn't ask him. I just...
You're the one who dropped the
ball.
You
know, lately I've been ordering tuna, and I kind of was thinking, oh, I'll have tuna today, and... Didn't get around to it because I was very busy.
Trying to eat healthy?
Then you should have sent an early email saying, if we do get lunch,
I didn't even see his email until I got here. It's not like I didn't answer it.
So from now on,
services
if we're in
spotty,
question, I'll order you tuna.
Maybe that or the boneless chicken wings, because last time I ordered boneless chicken wings and they sent
good,
me
good, so at least I have two things that I can have a go-to.
Boneless chicken wings or boneless buffalo?
Boneless buffalo.
Boneless buffalo.
You need to be clearer. This I'm starting to see why he has problems with your orders. You're not clear. You put on one sandwich, you wanted lettuces, plural, multiple types of lettuce.
Chris from Germany says...
The miniature lettuces?
Shredded. I want Andy to take a close look at running back Shane Vereen from California. I think he could be a nice addition to the Patriots running game, and they could get him in the third round.
Writing these down, huh?
And so he wants to know, Andy, well, who's your favorite prospect aside from Quinny?
Andy's not the only one going to the combine.
Wow. I was wondering
Andy's
if
Andy's not the only one who does draft work around
take
here.
Take offense. All right, well, so Eric, who's your favorite prospect?
Cameron Jordan, the defensive end outside linebacker from Cal right now.
Okay.
Because that's the position of need.
But it isn't. Why is everybody so in love with five technique defensive ends?
He's going to be an outside linebacker.
No,
here.
He's
that's
not.
Why.
No, he's not. He's a defensive end. There's no chance in hell he plays outside linebacker.
Of course there's a chance. What
there's
are you
no
about?
Chance. Less than zero.
Oh, stop it.
He comes from a 3-4 scheme where he was a defensive end. Why would he go to a different 3-4 scheme and play a different position? The only guys who change are guys that play in the 4-3 and it's more of a tweener position. This guy played in a true, basically a two-gapping 3-4 in college where he was an end. That's what he's going to be here. Now, he may be great, but I'll stick with my opinion. If you wanted a great defensive end in the 3-4,
I know, you should
keep
kept
Richard
Seymour.
And it doesn't solve your pass rush needs. I'm not of the belief that just because Cameron Jordan, regardless of how good he could be, now Tully Bantakane's back to being a dominating pass rusher. He just isn't. You need one of those guys.
Well, I'm not sold on Quinny yet either, though, because half of his sacks came in two games, and the others
three games.
Came, or whatever, and the others came against below-level competition.
Right. And so, that happens. That happens. We've seen that with everybody. I've done plenty of research on that. I've written the story that Dwight Freeney picks up all his sacks in meaningless games, garbage time. The fact that, what's his name? The 69 guy from the Vikings, Jared Allen, gets all his sacks in two games against the Packers when their O-line sucks. I've written that Tully Bantakane had 5 sacks against the Bills and how he got to 10 sacks. It happens. That's how some of these guys, they get into a groove and they take advantage of it. It's happened with Peppers over the years. I just want a guy that can take advantage of that here. Quinn could be, as I said to you upstairs, Vernon Golston 2.0. Mm-hmm. He very well could be. But you know what? Take a chance at it. Because we've tried to have Tully Bantakane 2.0, 3.0, 4.0, and none of those worked either. I'm half joking when I say, I want a diva pass rusher. I want a flashy diva. I want a guy that maybe can afford to take plays off because he's that damn good. I'd like to see Julius Peppers take some plays off if I get the plays that he doesn't take off.
He's on a roll.
Okay, proceed.
He's on a roll.
Mikel LeShore. Was that this email or a couple emails ago?
That was the running back.
Yeah, I'm not in love with him. For the first pick of the second round, I'm not in love with him. I have said this before, and Mel Kiper agrees with me. Comparing him to Rashard Mendenhall, another Illinois running back, they're just not in the same category. They're not in the same class of player, athlete. I think I'm pretty sure he broke the school record and has more production at Illinois. But I'll take Mendenhall every day of the week. Not the same. I don't love the running backs in this. Sorry. I don't love the running backs in this year's class at the top.
No, we talked about that.
I think there's good depth, and there's intriguing depth in all these underclassmen that came out. What was the number that there's Rob Rang had? 13 underclassmen came out, and only 12 backs were drafted last year. Total. Yeah. So, you know, there's interesting guys. This Vereen kid is interesting, yoked up. He was at that skills competition.
There's a James Starks-like guy, too, and whose name is escaping me at the moment, but 6'2", 225, 230, somewhere around there. What is he? He's on the lower end of your big board.
I think I know who you're talking about. But I think all of them are mid-round prospects. I'm not even in love with Mark Ingram. I know everybody loves him and wants, you know, he's the next Emmett Smith and all that. Not in love with him.
508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to the phones. Who do we got here?
Larry in Miami.
Larry, how you doing? Thanks for holding on.
No problem, bro. How y'all guys doing?
We're doing good.
All right.
Do you have an ugly girlfriend?
No.
Oh, okay. Just making sure.
Hi, girlfriend. Big boo.
Nice, my kind of girl. No offense.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
Guys, that's true. I just wanted to call in. I'm picking up from the other show about the draft where we needed, you know, a guy that comes in, or we get a guy that, you know, we know that's going to do something. I'd rather get Larry Fitzgerald because our offense is pretty much the Jets showed us. If you figure it out. You know, those short passes, intermediate passes, you can stop that. And if you do, Brady's going to have a whole lot of time just walking around and, you know, the defensive tackle will get a sack or, you know, somebody come in and get a sack on him. So we do need to have that respect of, you know, they can go deep. Not with Tate. Tate, to me, he's an okay receiver, but to me, he's supposed to be on special teams. Just like Aiken. Good special team player, so we need a receiver that we can go down the field and people respect. And then wherever else we need to on the with the draft, we just go all defense and probably pick up a running back. That's what I feel.
Okay. Yeah, if Larry Fitzgerald is the option, then I certainly would take him.
Sure, I
agree. Anytime, because he's tremendous in the prime of his career. He's still under contract at this point. I mean, there's no warts on that. That's the perfect move, other than whatever it would cost you in the trade. But I would still deem that unlikely. I mean, that's basically been reported by one source.
Yeah.
And not really reported at all.
It's not picked up by anybody else.
Ted DiBiase style, everybody has a price.
If you didn't have the situation with the CBA, that would be highly, highly unlikely. I think to have a situation like you're going to have now with potentially, what, 5 months before you can do anything like that, you're potentially looking at the season starting right after whenever this thing gets settled. You're not going to get a high-profile trade like that.
Right.
Chances are minuscule.
Sure.
A guy like Larry Fitzgerald getting traded in a year where there really can be no moves made.
No, I mean, I saw an email today from a fan that said,
You want to put your mic on?
I saw an email today from a fan who said that...
I was just going to let
you know,
it go.
He just thinks that the NFL offseason has really evolved into, like, you know, a really cool thing to follow. If
yes.
you're a hardcore fan, it's going to be a real shame, he said, if we don't have it.
Because unlike baseball, where you just have trades and free agency, the draft is another dynamic. You get the question of, should they go after this in free agency, or should they draft it? You don't have that in baseball.
Well, plus,
because the draft is at a different time, and it's not immediate. Unless you're talking about the top three prospects, you're not going to see them for 3, 4, 5 years. So it's a different dynamic, and that's why this year you have to go into the draft not knowing what you're going to address in free agency.
Right.
It's a totally different year. Interesting, different, but
besides
kinda changes
it. Baseball's offseason is you blink and it's over. You know, it doesn't really take that
long. I disagree
long.
With that, but the point about the draft is very good because you can immediately fill a need. You have to decide, do I fill the need in the draft or do I fill it in free agency or both?
The question I asked
you
the other day,
baseball,
do you want the receiver
if you have a,
or the linebacker to be the proven commodity and the other one
to be the... You can't
do
that in baseball because no matter who you pick, you're not taking a guy that's going to be able to help you immediately in baseball.
Right, but my point is baseball.
But the baseball offseason goes on from October
and
to
what baseball has
well,
always had
March.
That football hadn't was trades.
Really. Nah.
But football's getting better at that.
More of those.
The World Series now ends in November, basically, and then the pitchers and catchers are already down in Florida. It's mid-February, so the offseason's over. It's like 3 months.
But there was constant player movement in that offseason. It's not a short one.
I know, but it happens. Their offseason happens when it's the height of, you know, the NBA starts, football's in full swing, hockey's in full swing, college basketball. There are other distractions. Football's offseason takes 6 months, basically.
Yeah, and something happens in 2 weeks, the first 2 weeks of March, except for the draft, which Andy pointed out.
Draft, free agency, now you get all the
free
passing camps that people want.
Basically, free agents, that's it. Two weeks of free agency. That's it.
No, but I'm saying you have more things in the NFL offseason that people are interested in. There are practices that are now covered by the likes of us and everything.
I mean, that's our job, but I would disagree that anybody is any
more
interested in that than they are spring training. I have zero interest in spring training.
I was just talking about, as a fan of X team in any sport, the way in which you in your mind say, how can we get better? What should we do to get better?
Yeah, that's
the
what I'm saying.
Play GM for a day game, to me,
is
most
draft,
interesting in football because it all comes to a culmination at one, you know, March, April time. What do you do? How do you do it? I mean, it's all done after that, basically. Yeah, you can sign Antoine Smith in mid-June. But
exactly. And the draft gives you...
Except for Fred, who really targets those post-June signings.
Right, even though there hasn't been one in 8 years. Yeah. But
they keep saying that every year there is.
Who? You still get me that list
just,
of teams
I
in Cap
I just
Hell?
Keep asking you to name me one, and you can't.
Every year this
Roman
summer.
Pfeiffer, thank you, 2001.
By the way, according to the owners, all teams were in cap hell because they can't continue this business model. So you were right
you ended
on that
up
argument.
Being right.
32 teams you should have written down, all the logos.
That's right. Yemi from Texas wants to know how the changes at EEI will affect Paul.
They won't.
Why?
Because I don't do anything for them anymore.
Is that by choice?
No.
Well, they do affect you somewhat because there doesn't sound like there's going to be much of a chance of you going back to the old role of.
But I had
Wednesday afternoon. I'm on from 2 to 6.
Yeah, no, I had already decided that was, you know, after a year, I figured that it wasn't just a dry spell.
Do we know for sure they're doing away with that?
They are using contributors from time to time. That was what Glenn.
That's
said.
A way of saving money.
Absolutely. This whole thing is about.
So what
money.
Does that mean for Fred and Steve?
I don't think they will be regulars on there.
Really?
I think they will contribute during the football season.
But that's a 10-minute phone.
Not for 4 hours and not every day like they are on now. I mean, they're on
what
every single
tailgate?
Week.
Part of our Thursday night football lineup.
I don't know. We'll have to see.
Did we crush them that bad in the ratings that they're going out of business?
Maybe we'll take Fred and Steve and give them a show here.
Maybe you'll get an hour-long show instead of a
And maybe we can take
hour.
The steakhouse, Paul and Andy's. No offense, guys.
The Pete Shepard show was only a half hour?
Oh.
I was talking about the tailgate. Oh. I was talking about TV. Give the half an hour that would have been with Glenn and Fred and Steve to
Or they
guys.
Could give it to Quickslants.
Yeah, it'll be up for grabs.
I don't think we're going to do the Comcast show next year.
The bleep we ain't. What?
Well, why? Why?
We don't have time.
We do.
Well, why don't you?
You step
separate
away from
yourself
it.
From it. Then
I might not do it.
You as the guy that no one remembers.
Can I host it? Fred, can I take your? Can I take your role?
God, this is just be quiet back there.
Talk about car
Holy
wrecks.
Cripes.
Good, Fred. That you was know, subtle.
Eric, that was perfect. I mean, please, just stop.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the ace ticket
really, Eric,
hotline.
Do you have a pen?
Chris,
you'll start writing you'll be at the combine, too. Can you take a memo? They had some people they wanted
we
us
have
to
these
talk
emails
to
in the inbox.
We me don't.
We me
don't. I don't get these emails, so you need to remind. When you're upstairs, can
he's
you?
He's not a man of the people.
No, he's not.
Remind me. What do you mean? I had nothing to do with it. IT didn't set
what
me
do you
up
mean
with it. Not that I want them
IT
to.
IT didn't
if
set me up with it either.
IT.
I asked for them.
No, I didn't, and I don't.
Ask for what?
Therefore, you're not a man
the
of the
web
people.
Web radio emails.
Oh. Chris writes, do you guys think that should the lockout occur and cut into regular season, the NFL pie will decrease in years to come because the fans will go back to the NHL for their entertainment?
No. Football, as soon as football's on, people will watch it.
What portion of the money comes from Gate?
I just opened this email and I just.
Is it Gabe's girlfriend?
Better.
another shot at Gabe's girlfriend.
The cover of Sports Illustrated.
Oh yeah, we got
mackerel
that the other day.
Paul's got the whole issue upstairs with some photos.
We talked about it on Tuesday's show.
Decker.
I threw it away.
So. No, threw it away?
Yeah, I brought it home and I threw it away.
Pages are stuck together.
Oh, no, exactly. This is from 2009.
Is it Brooklyn Decker? Is it my girl?
I think it's Bar Raphael.
She's hot, too. You know, I wouldn't kick her out of bed.
Yeah. Anyway, Mike says, please don't change how you guys are doing things. It's great. And if you guys get fired, I would quit being a Patriots fan. Not really. But I am.
Don't put that in when you send it to the front office.
Exactly.
But I am really emailing to ask you guys, how do you think the CBA will be a big impact on specifically the Patriots offseason? Also, this is one for that one guy who was obsessed with Brooklyn Decker, but it's not Brooklyn Decker. It's Bar Raphael.
But I would take her, too. It will affect the Patriots offseason. I mean, you're
it's
one of the younger teams.
Off-season.
No, but everybody said, oh, you got Tom Brady. That won't matter. Well, what about Taylor Price? Mm. What about Jermaine Cunningham? What about Patrick Chung? What about Devin McCourty? What about all these first and second-year players who needed another offseason to take that next step? The tight ends, mm-hmm. Hernandez and Gronkowski. I mean, you have a lot of first or second year players that I think could use mini camps, passing camps, extra time with their coaches.
Particularly those rookies who haven't experienced it yet. You know, the second and third year guys, at least they know what an NFL offseason is like. They know the regimen, the training routine. The rookies, it's like they're in the end of college again and they just finished their bowl game.
Yeah, it's not good.
McCourty talked about that a little bit in his speaker series.
At least he's got a twin brother to work with.
Appearance, yeah.
And who knows who's going through it, yeah.
He's upset about
that. I mean,
that.
Rob Gronkowski is left to his own endeavors.
Well, he can go to his older brother who has...
Yeah, I'm not sure they're a positive influence. All they do is get gronked. I don't know exactly what that means, but it doesn't sound like it's focused on the business of football when you're getting gronked.
Yeah. I think it has something to do with chugging or... standing on your head on a keg.
I do too, but he's been out and about. Have you noticed charity type things,
doing stuff,
contests,
yeah.
And that's that marketing arm he's got working for.
Good Gronk.
Yeah,
I was along those lines. I was thinking. You see, Cam Newton signed with Under Armour.
Biggest deal ever for a rookie. Or
they should do commercials with him and Brady, kind of like old school, new school, or you know, the fundamental guy Brady versus the freak athlete. I think you could do some sort of a tandem commercial there.
How about
cool.
Brady gets into a fender bender and Cam Newton is the guy in the other car? No?
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, they get to know each other.
I'm talking about
Tom Brady already had a car accident, for one.
I know, that's why I'm thinking
potentially
about
could have taken his life.
I was being mildly
Tom
serious.
Tom Brady never shaved.
Like, I was envisioning Tom Brady as the proven, accurate passer, and then you balance that out in some commercial with
I got what
Newton
saying.
Throwing the ball through a wall. I mean... Couldn't that work?
I didn't really get the whole car accident thing, but I
didn't
what
either.
You were saying.
They get into a car.
No, it's a multi. You know, they get to know each other in the first commercial. Then the second part, they start training together, and they realize, hey, you wear Under Armour too.
Hey, you wear underwear too.
Oh my God!
You know,
actually, I don't.
Or maybe Brady says, "Hey, kid, if you're going to make it in this league, you got to wear the right equipment," and he introduces him to Under Armour.
That's probably
better. That's kind of what Andy's talking about.
Scenario. Yeah, I envisioned like a, I don't know the specifics, but the whole Magic Johnson, Larry Bird shooting around the McDonald's playing horse.
Right.
But like
evolving with Brady and Cam Newton.
I don't know if you remember, but Kevin Garnett, when he was a rookie, you know, just a kid out of high school, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, I believe, had a
LA Gear?
Had a I think it was a razor commercial. It was for Bic or one of those razors, and it was telling him
how to shave
his head, yep. front to Gillette. Back, you know, back Gillette. To front, whatever. Yep. And it was like the old guy, you know,
that's
passing
what
the baton to the new guy.
That's the kind of thing, especially since the old guy owns a piece of the company and certainly wants the new guy to be good. Because if the new guy's good, it's good for his company.
Joel
with his Uggs on.
Joel in Merrimack says, hey, guys. Hi, Eric.
Go screw yourself, Joel.
I've been thinking about the owners proposing an 18-game schedule. My understanding is that the players are opposed to this, and obviously for good reason.
It's stupid.
The owner's only motivation for this can be increased revenue, right? Now, with the owners in the NFL in general grandstanding about how much they're concerned with player safety, doesn't an 18-game season fly in the face of that? So here's my question. Is this a real change the NFL owners want to implement, or is this a bone to be tossed at the players' union in negotiations?
That's the great question.
Yep.
Fred believes it's a bone.
I said that from the start. I think they'll take it if they can get it, but I don't think it's a make-or-break proposition
right.
for them.
I agree with Fred on that.
Yeah. So,
but that's one of those issues that I think will fall into place once they decide $9 billion. How are we dividing this?
Keith writes in, hey, great show.
$8 billion for PFW in progress. You guys do whatever you want with him.
I was wondering if Andy and Eric have ever heard of the invention called YouTube.
Yes.
You can see plenty of footage on draft prospects at your fingertips. Why wait for the stupid coaches tape that don't arrive till 2 weeks before the draft? All the other analysts are studying tape and making opinions and projections.
That aren't right, by the way.
Get your thumbs out of your butts and get with the program.
And name all the other analysts that just cover the Patriots that are studying all the film. Name any that actually do it other than us.
I would also argue that YouTube stuff,
for the most part, is
crap.
Some of them are okay, but for the most part, they're not.
And we also don't.
For every Andy Studebaker I find that way, there'll be a lot of swings and misses.
There's more than just watching tape research that we do. We do actual like reading, background
Why do you
analysis.
Get so defensive,
he really does. I enjoy, let him go. I enjoyed the new Eric.
Now you just interrupted my flow.
I did. In fairness to Andy, sorry.
Never mind.
I go to the combine too.
But like, really? It's funny. I was reading that email.
Good,
and I wonder if Eric's going to say anything because it's addressed to Andy. I didn't even finish the email, and he.
Yeah, why isn't
it? All the rest of those guys are wrong.
You know,
by
there's
the way.
Somebody else that goes to the combine here.
Well, seriously, if you don't want me to go, then I won't go. But
I think Andy is more outspoken about his opinions
and right.
So who'd you end up taking? There's no Mendenhall
Eric
moment
Sherrod.
For you in the draft.
Because this morning, Chris Ferreira comes to us. Who do you guys want? I'm putting the mock draft thing up on Patriots.com. You guys want to put selections just for Patriots, 17 and 28? And so I go, we'll take Quinn at 28. Eric, Quinn at 17. Eric, you do 28, but take a guard. So I just let him pick a guard.
But I didn't pick a guard.
Just so you know, it worked really well for us last year that way. We did a similar style when we did the whole NFL last year, and we had the best mock there was, if you recall. That's how I recall it. Anyway.
That's how you recall it, yeah.
You guys
always
should start working
that
on that.
What are you talking about the whole
now?
NFL?
When we did the mock draft for the paper.
1 to 32 mock. Our mock was better than anyone else's.
Yeah, we had more correct. Oh, we had more correct picks than
but
anybody
I just,
else.
Yeah, the way you said that, like that's how we did it last year. The whole NFL. I'm like, how else would you do it?
No, no,
we're
no,
just
I mean,
talking about our mock.
I usually
last.
Make
our
the picks, and then occasionally round. I'll give them a position and say, "You tick between two guys."
Listen to this condescending a hole. I almost slipped there and said the whole thing too.
A hole.
Where's he getting?
Where's
this?
That from?
A hole.
Did you find a new folder or like an old file or something?
No, I just have time now to go back through and look up all the stuff that I wrote down.
You are a very unlikable man.
Yeah, I noticed he's lost a hat in the off season, so maybe there is something to
knocked off in the car.
You're a very unlikable man.
Iced
T took it back.
No, in the car accident, the hat went flying off my head into the back seat. Now that you mention it.
Did you get anything else out of your car? Did you have anything in your car that you needed?
I had all sorts of crap in there.
30-pack of Bud.
he's walking down Route 1. He's got golf clubs over his back.
There's actually
his car manuals in the glove box.
Yeah, there's a Patriots flask in the back seat.
Wow. Oh, that's
there
exactly
you go,
what you
Andy.
Want.
Yeah.
Like
Drunk.
In the pocket.
A flask.
I wouldn't be saying that if I were you. Your lawyer would not advise you say that.
Yeah. Whatever. It was probably I didn't even know I had it. I don't even think it's mine.
Oh, sure. Yeah, right.
Ty lost
cousins. Cousins.
If I knew I had it, I would have taken it out and used it because it's a very nice item. Probably
again,
from the
something
Patriots
you should
Pro
be
Shop.
Saying.
Stop talking.
Patriot. ProShop.com.
tins of skull were found strewn across the Route 1.
That would have been if Doc had
Yeah, accident. That would have been Jason. Well, granted, I do it occasionally. But
Ken Walter writes in.
Again.
Says, sorry I lost my composure earlier. Here I am at home writing Brian Morey for a job as a holder in that kicking game at the Hall of Patriot Place presented by Raytheon.
Presented by Raytheon.
And I hear Utility Lou lands a radio gig? It's not fair. While Lou was serving as Nomar's valet, I was out there leading the Pats to last-minute Super Bowl wins. Andy made a great point about how much more qualified I am for that job. Thanks, Andy. Your Vinatieri pick is in the mail. So like I said, sorry I blew up.
Vinatieri pick.
It's been tough since I lost my job driving for a North Carolina trucking company last week, and I really need an off-season gig to hold me over until training camp. I really hope the CBA gets resolved. Let's face it, I don't have too many prime years left in my career.
Prime?
Ken Walter.
I love Walter!
All right, let's take another quick break. It's 1:20, and we'll be right back.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Braves! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Now's your chance. Hit up the PFW guys at 508-543-7482 or email webradio@patriots.com.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. Gang is all here if you just tuned in. I wonder if people listen to the whole show or do they just listen to part of it?
I think most of them listen to the whole show.
I would think they listen to the whole thing.
It's only 2 hours.
Yeah. You make us listen.
No, but it's not like, you know, like nobody listens to the whole big show on EEI. You listen to 20 minutes.
It's not worth it.
I'm just asking.
You're making my point.
Good Lord.
Nobody listens to part of the big show. That's why they're changing it. If everybody was listening, they wouldn't be
changing
the entire format.
Good point, Andy. Good point. I don't
Paul, what do you think of Patrick Peterson? He's a guy you probably know something about.
Love him. Love his athleticism.
Peterson.
Love his athleticism.
Yeah,
I need to see. I need to see a little more on, you know,
he's a big corner who could play safety too.
A lot of those guys never pan out to anything.
You're right. You're right. That style has been really, really boom or bust.
Right.
There's been some guys that have been able to
Whereas
do it.
Whereas the
and other
true
guys...
safety like Eric Berry comes in and plays safety and he's good.
Right. He's
you know, Brandon Merriweather was an athletic corner slash safety.
I love his athleticism, but I want to see more on tape in terms of
Freddie. Some believe he's the best athlete in the draft and should be considered
well, I
a
think
top
he's,
overall
I think
pick.
He's one of them, if not
now,
the best.
I think it'd be ridiculous to take a tweener corner safety with number one overall.
I wouldn't care if it was just a flat-out corner. I mean, I wouldn't take a corner number one overall.
Well, I mean, if
what
I knew
your,
for sure he was great.
What do we need to see on him, Freddie? He's a cornerback.
You need to swivel hips.
Yeah. Got to see
the I thought we need to see his, transcript to see if he played since the sixth grade.
You need to know that. You got to see that transition from the back pedal.
Last time Terrence Wheatley
played
was the sixth
grade. You got to see that transition.
Yeah. Got to be smooth, right?
Where's
right
Terrence now Wheatley these days, your boyfriend?
Jacksonville.
He was in Jacksonville.
Jacksonville.
Is he still
signed
there?
Signed a two-year contract.
But I think, yeah. Is he still?
No, he does karate chops now with his
according
titanium
to the internet
wrist. Yeah.
His titanium wrist.
No one sent in and asked PFW a question in that either, did they? Because someone asked about him last week and asked PFW and
you
I looked it up.
Correctly?
And, no. Oh. I went on the internet. It said that he signed a two-year deal with Jacksonville, and that was the latest story that I had
seen. If it's on the
internet,
then I believe it.
I don't.
Stripper says we're the reason he woke up today. He listens to the entire show.
Well, thank you.
At Patriots.com, go to good, the bottom, contact us.
Yeah, you haven't office sent one in yet. Send one to the front office.
Good of you to drag yourself out of bed at noon.
Hey, go to well
keep Andy and the boys.
The front office would love
subject
an email from at strippers.
It's all right. He's big, though. He's everywhere. Like, he goes back and forth with all those guys on Twitter.
He's kind of a big deal.
I'll be honest. If I saw it on Twitter, I would not go back and forth with him. If I just saw VIP strippers, I would think I was getting involved with somebody weird, and you know, I'd be right. But
all of a sudden, I'm going to get a virus. On
yeah,
the
I had
a lot of
or
these
somewhere
guys
else.
I actually, he actually helps just promote our show though too. He's
tremendous.
Know, he'll tweet.
Strippers has back and forths going on with Michael Silver,
right?
And Florio, and he's all over the place.
He'll tweet like an hour before the show to promote it. Mark Bertrand texted me the other day and was like, "Who's this guy promoting
he
your show?"
He does more for our show than you and Doc ever have.
Hey,
anyway.
Oh, go ahead.
Last night on Twitter.
Yes.
This is more of a question for strippers. I'm just looking at you, Fred. T.O. and Ocho Cinco started going back and forth. Seems far too perfect to be real. I mean, it was basically Ocho Cinco saying, T.O., you came here and ruined it. Now my quarterback's retiring. And T.O. responding with, well, where were you all year if you didn't? I mean, it was like a feud, but it seemed like it must have been
staged. A wrestling feud.
And I haven't seen much on it. And I want to know if strippers had gotten to the bottom of it, whether it was fake. Strippers. Three.
Okay. It's my quarterback.
One.
So that show is still running?
I don't know. That's what I assumed, is that maybe they were hyping the show via Twitter by. Yeah. But
well, before. I had a question because he said that somebody from one of the stations emailed him about Kevin. Would you know if the people at those stations listen to this show?
I would. I know a few that do that know
really
of the show and that have listened to it in the past. I don't know if they religiously listen to it, but I'm not going to throw out names. That's mean.
That's what we do here, though.
Wait till
whenever
Monday
I ask Paul,
well,
who
Mark,
says
Mark,
the name?
Mark knew exactly who we were. Adam Jones.
Oh, Pac-Man. We love Pac-Man. He's one
know,
of the best.
Guys like that. But I don't know anybody at the other
station. He folded
pretty
quickly on that, didn't he?
Yeah, two names.
I feel comfortable throwing those names out.
Now, has Pac-Man taken over with Felger? I heard him on with Felger yesterday. Is he taken over as the Flash guy?
No, he was Bertrand's on vacation, yeah.
I like Pac-Man.
I do, too.
I asked Pac-Man. Paul, I asked Pac-Man if he was coming to the game on Saturday. He said nego.
Okay.
He said what? He said what? Well,
the Northeastern game.
I think the best show going is Felger and Maz right now in Boston.
Give me a break.
I think they work well together.
Number, I forgot it.
Yeah, Felger says something and Tony says yes, Mike.
No,
yes, sir.
No, not
may
all
I have time another?
And they all, they had a great
Mike.
They had a great interview with Bud Selig.
That was very good, by the
that
way.
That was good.
That was very good. And you could tell that Tony knew Bud Selig a little bit and that helped.
Right.
But yeah, that was entertaining radio.
You know? So I think that, you know, not that the bar is set that high, but I think they're the best show in Boston right now.
They're the Ben Jarvis Green Ellis of radio shows right now.
You are a colossal jerk.
You do realize.
Are. You are.
Why?
Because you can't help but make fun of some. You're so wide-ranging.
You can only feel good about yourself by making fun of others.
You just took a rocket shot at the same time.
That's my
to
analysis.
To Glenn Ordway, Felger and Maz, and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, all with one sentence.
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis has done a tremendous job of maximizing his talent. I give him more. A lot of people don't do that. You know, Bill talked about Matt Chatham. Just know your role and succeed in it. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis has done that. I'm just going to plow forward for 4 yards, hold on to the damn football, and eventually they'll get rid of these other clowns in front of me, and I'll make a nice little career out of it. He's done that. Yeah, I give him full credit. I mean, he's the James Sanders of running backs, right?
Trying to protect him.
He's not great at anything, but he just does the job. He's pretty sure. You know what you're going to get.
Sure.
So you can say the same thing about Lou Maloney then.
No, I can't. Oh, when did he ever start anywhere?
No, you just give him the mic. He plowed ahead for 4 yards until the other clowns ahead of him lost their jobs.
It's kind of true.
You know?
They invested in him, and that's the problem. Is they invested money in him behind the scenes, and now they got to make that money.
Well, because they thought that the Sports Hub wanted to hire him.
Do the Jets want Brandon Merriweather? Oh, my God.
Right.
Who cares?
For some reason, they panicked. They said, well, we got to keep this guy. I don't know. I don't see it.
I like these little comparisons, radio to players.
I don't see it. I don't see the allure. Are you trying to get me to take some rocket shots?
No.
You've got a smile on your face right now.
I will if that's what you're looking for.
No, you won't. Because he's still hoping maybe this is just the cleanser and there's going to be more shakeup and they'll be calling. No, he's hoping.
Hoping? Absolutely. I make no secret of that fact.
So you're saying there's a chance?
Look, no, there is no chance.
The Wednesday interview on Maz and Felger with Paul is must-listen radio.
That's what the Boston Globe says.
Well, I would agree with
that. Tony's going to be pumped to use his name first.
Not a shot at Paul, but I think that is
this
comes
is where
from
he's going to this is no. where he's going to relate me to Ben Jarvis Green. No.
That comes from you're Dion Branch and Tom Brady. When you're on with Felger and Maz, there's a comfort level,
right.
A history, a rapport that you can't just create anywhere else. You have that with them, and that's just natural. It leads to good radio. The comfort, you know, shots back and forth, and that's good radio. It's like what
shots
we do here.
Shots at Fred.
Right. It's he doesn't care for
Fred
those.
Comes on and goes, why do they always make fun of me?
He doesn't care for the footy pajama lines. Do you really wear footy pajamas?
No.
He wears nothing.
You
know,
when I get home, the pants come off.
Damn right.
He does with their Broncos.
And they're really, really tight.
That's the problem with when you wear boxers.
They're like singlets
you
now.
Put on weight?
No, the smaller they get, the little slot in the front starts to separate. And you don't have much protection there. So
all of a sudden it's hanging out.
If your fly happens to be down, you might be getting more of a shot than just your underwear.
The fact that he has four balls, I'll try.
You know what I mean?
Guy's a man.
I actually think that happened to me a couple weeks ago coming out of the men's room.
Your schlong was hanging out?
Out of the men's room?
Yeah.
What?
Upstairs?
Yeah.
What?
I walked by
Did
the
flash dock,
and there was a girl in a cube, and
oh god,
she looked at me, and then quickly turned around, and I looked down. My fly was down,
And what else was?
I don't know. I just didn't
the old one-eyed cash.
I'm hoping that that's all that you know. I don't
Cox
know.
Cox is pretty big in Rhode Island, right?
You are a riot.
Do you remember that time you came out
you
with
were
the
so
toilet
high
paper?
The entertainment
Our show
comedy
should make
scale.
Cox bigger.
Coming out the back of your
toilet paper.
Yeah, hanging out of your waistband.
Well, I make a nest. You know,
you don't have to take it with you.
Well, you know, sometimes.
Not a mobile nest.
Well, you don't build a nest?
You don't sit on the seat, do you?
No, but they have those things in the bathroom.
Those are hard to use.
Absolutely.
You put it on and you have to sit down really quick or it falls in the toilet.
I absolutely agree with Freddie. That's why I build a nest.
Especially on the auto flush toilets, if you're in a place with those, it just sucks it right down. Because when you put it down, it flicks the laser and it sucks. The little flap hangs down and it sucks the whole thing down.
No, the seat covers are great if you can get on it before it falls in.
I've never had a problem with them.
Yeah, I don't like those.
I don't know.
Plastic things. I build a nest.
No, I have a new technique with those where I kind of put it. Oh.
I'm not.
I don't want to see the hand gestures right
anyway,
there.
Anyway, yeah. Todd Roberts writes in. He says, what do you think of selecting Michael Shore with the first pick in the second round?
No.
If he's still around, he's listening from Newfoundland.
I don't like the
new
value
Finland?
There.
Newfoundland?
Oh, Newfoundland.
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 Okay. I don't think he's that much better than some of the other backs in the draft. I'm just not sold on him. Not le sure about his future.
But
you just got rescued.
For areas leaving?
I think Doc's going to do it.
That's not rescued. Last time he ruined it.
That's a lateral move at
best.
He
didn't turn us on.
Well, Chris was nice to offer to come down. He had the notepad ready to take notes on this very
nice
difficult
coffee.
Process.
He was ready to go.
Yeah, well, actually, he said thank God because he didn't want to do this.
Because we'd spend the last 15 minutes taking shots at him anyway.
Yes, would bring him into the show.
Chris is a wise man. He knows what would have happened if he had taken
That would have been good radio if he had come down.
Yeah. Too bad.
Ah, well.
As long as he figured out how to turn on his mic, that would have been good radio.
And then turn off the show. Otherwise, we would have had to stay on until somebody shut the show off.
Until like 3 o'clock,
A marathon. We're not leaving until Pete Shepard gets what he wants.
I just don't understand what his demands could be. I mean,
a show.
I think he's looking
for
Fred,
what if he locks himself in the studio here and we can't do PFW?
Well, there was a radio personality that did that, Mike Adams.
No, there wasn't. It was a gimmick.
Well, but he did it.
Pete is real.
That would be a serious problem, though, because he probably has access to get in here. And what if he, like...
How does he have access to get in
here? Well, how would he get in here? I mean, how does he get in here and do his
show? Someone has to let him in.
Someone let him in.
Oh, I figured he had, like, a card or something.
No, Jason let him in.
All right, then I'm not as afraid. I'm scared.
What should we be scared? We helped him out. We want to help him out. We see the potential.
Let's get back to how we can get radio jobs. Can we get back to that?
Paul likes talking about that.
I'm soliciting ideas from anybody. How can Annie and I get
your problem,
show?
Paul, is you refuse to move. I could get you a job tomorrow in Bangor.
Talking about the Ice Cats.
It just needs to be for more money than I make now.
Well,
okay, see? You're a little bit limited when you...
You make a lot of money.
Yeah, I would take the same money as now.
Oh, I would too.
A radio job.
I would too. But
you ain't
getting that in Bangor, Maine.
You never include me
Bangor.
In your little radio.
you know that? Bangor, Maine.
I want a radio show too.
I don't want you on my radio show.
NPR will be fine for you. You can go do your radio career
NPR
there.
NPR may be gone.
Yeah. Why? Seriously.
Once again, they're trying to
budget
get rid
cuts.
Of them in the budget.
Yeah. I'm all for it.
See, I'm not. Years ago, I might have been. But nowadays, if you listen to all these media outlets, NPR is like more mid in the mainstream than all the others.
If there is a need for what they produce, it will live. It will survive. It will come on elsewhere.
Right.
Somebody will make money off of it.
You're right.
It doesn't need to be subsidized. If there is a market for it, the system will create it.
Yeah, but, I mean, how can we get rid of Sesame Street?
How can we get rid of anything? If tough times call for tough decisions. Do it. Right?
They might have to.
It's your guy. Makes a budget that is like 35% over budget. How do you do that? I don't understand how that works.
Got to invest
like
in the future.
We blame all these people for buying houses they couldn't afford.
Yeah.
That's the American way. The president does it every time he puts a budget out there.
Got to invest.
No.
What
you got to do is
spend
wisely.
Spend the money that you have.
What happened to live
you
within
have.
Your means?
We're still coming out of a recession. Now's not the time to make cuts.
Oh, here he goes.
It's all about jobs.
Getting out the company.
Jobs, jobs, jobs.
Yeah.
Sam
in
Chicago.
I mean, literally, I see he comes out with a $3.7 trillion budget that... The deficit is 1.7 or 1.65 trillion.
Right.
Like, just bring it down to real world.
Well,
I make X, I can only spend
he
X.
He assembles this budget committee and takes none of their advice on anything and just come on.
I just don't like. Stupid. I understand how credit works, and you go a little like we all have houses that we didn't buy with our money. You know, we have to make a mortgage payment, so I understand you do some of it, but you still have to live within your means.
Sure.
And we don't as a country, and then yet we get mad at people for ruining the housing industry
because they were taking out loans they couldn't afford.
Well, the
especially
president
when
does
we're already in debt well beyond our eyeballs.
So now it's time for in my opinion, to do what I've called for all along. Call China, call all those other countries that we owe huge sums of money and say, we're not paying you back.
Yeah.
We're starting zero. We're rebalancing the checkbook at zero.
Which is essentially how...
You need us as much as we need you, whatever, you know.
Essentially how Donald Trump... Got out of his
exactly.
doldrums.
It's time to do that.
He went to his creditors and said, "You're not getting anything from me. Or if you do, you're getting, 10 cents on the dollar."
Did he claim bankruptcy?
Oh yeah. That's what we need to do. But that's my solution. Brooklyn Matt, tell me why I'm wrong.
His theory was they need the money more than I do, so they'll take whatever I can give them. And so he lowered his debt, and he ended up making all his money back. Brilliant.
Now he's going to run.
He went to CPAC last week, talked to all the conservative Republicans, and he's going to run for president now.
Good. Sam in Chicago, can you answer this?
Yeah, because he's more of a clown. Forget it.
He is. Sam in Chicago
says... Give him
says,
the Nobel Peace Prize, baby.
Yep. Can you answer me this? Richard Seymour was traded for a now 17th pick. Why? I'm assuming Bill was looking to the future and wanted some impact player that could be around longer than Seymour had left in the league. It looks like Oakland thinks he's got two more good years and has mentioned what a positive impact he is on the D-line. Do you think Bill will use the first pick on a defensive end?
Eric wants him to.
I don't want him to be an outside linebacker. I don't want him to be a defensive end.
That's not Jordan.
All right, stop yelling.
Might be Quinny.
I told you, the children hate it when you fight.
I haven't yelled. We're bickering.
Eric, Cameron Jordan is a five technique. This is from Derek.
I know what he is.
It's a five technique defensive end, not outside linebacker.
I know what he was at Cal. Andy, I'm projecting what he's going to be in the NFL.
Andy already berated him for that.
My player for you guys to look at.
Oh, God,
besides,
it's not the damn kid out of Arizona, is it Reeds?
Besides Brooks Reeds is, of course, Justin Houston from Georgia.
Yes.
He's rising up the charts. Now everybody wants him at 17. Wasn't too long ago. He's barely a first-round pick.
Who's going to be this year's workout warrior?
Any? Workout warrior. Jordan Todman.
He better be.
I'm hoping for him to run a fast 40.
Yeah.
He's already in Kuiper's top four.
Anybody going to work out?
Well, that's a good question, too.
It will.
Quinny. Quinny's going to put on
a show. Rudolph is the latest that won't be working out.
Yeah, but he's coming off an injury. Yeah, that's injury-related. I bet you Quinny will be in the mix because he needs to, after
Quinny
a year
needs
off,
to have a good
And he's already
out.
That kind of guy. Yeah, all he's
those,
already a freak.
All those North Carolina guys who were suspended, Marvin Austin, Greg Little, Quinn.
He.
You don't know him.
I need to get to know him, though. What kind of questions do you ask people to see if the brain tumor is still affecting them? Because he's still got a brain tumor, and that bothers me a little bit.
How's the brain tumor affecting you?
I mean, are there, like, tricks?
You know how he always asks the really mean-spirited questions, but then has a little laugh afterwards?
You dropped 17 passes in a row at practice last week. How do you get past that?
Stripper says, I think this is from Cincinnati.com about the Ocho Tio Twitter battle. Oh, it's on Twitter. It wasn't on the show.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Oh, I thought you said it was on their show.
No, I said it was on Twitter, and I was wondering if they were, like, hyping the show, if there was some sort of media.
It was suggesting they were putting on a show.
Yeah.
You really do need to start listening.
Anyway, Cincinnati.com says, entertainment at its best. The two are good friends, so I don't think I'm going too far out on a limb to say they're just messing with each other via social media in an attempt to see how many people will fall for it.
Well, no, it was so obvious that I can't imagine too many people did. But I was just making sure. Don't want to assume. You know what happens when you assume.
Mike from Florida says that Kuiper has the Patriots selecting Cameron Jordan and Maryland
outside line
wide receiver Torrey Smith at 28. What do you guys think of that?
I want no part of Torrey Smith.
Why is that?
Skills competition. Didn't like what I saw from him. Oh, didn't like his route running. Didn't like his hands.
I always like to hear the reasons.
Skills competition.
I immediately go to, you know, gave him a dirty look at a press conference.
What's it with you and the dirty looks?
That's what happened with Dez Bryant.
I don't care for him. He did have a very – I mean, he's certainly not Heyward Bey. He had like 70 catches and 12 touchdowns last year, far more productive than Heyward Bey.
He's getting a lot of positive
just not sold.
Comments from people around him at Maryland who
say
that he's a, you know, hard worker.
He's supposed to be perfect.
Yeah.
Route runner.
Route runner, all that stuff.
He's the mid-size guy, the 6'1", 200-type build. He's supposed to be everything. I don't want any of it.
What's the kid from Pitt, the receiver?
I don't want any part of him.
I don't either.
He's a tight end.
He's big. Yeah, I don't like him either.
John Baldwin?
Yes.
Jonathan Baldwin?
Yes. And I don't like his attitude.
Big, slow.
He had immaturity.
Well, everyone's talking about this guy now that had that great game at the end of the
Miami kid, Hankinspank.
Oh. Lord Hankerson?
No,
I think he's going to be good because I think he suffered from a lack of consistency at quarterback.
The lineman,
offensive or defensive?
Defensive.
We were talking receiver, now we're talking about defensive line.
Yeah, we're talking specifically.
Oh, talking receiver.
But go ahead, if you got something.
Yeah. Who's the guy that had the great Fiesta Bowl?
J.J. Watt?
Who played in the Fiesta Bowl? Yeah.
The two, Oregon and the other team.
Sorry, so the national championship.
The national championship.
Nick Fairley?
No, Fairley.
Fairley.
Fairley. Right. Not Nick Fairley, Fairley.
Nick Fairley.
That's
Nick
his name.
Nick Fairley.
Yeah, that's
what do you think I said?
Perhaps I thought you said McFairley.
Yeah, perhaps the number one pick of the draft.
You think so?
As he's
perhaps.
Been for a while now.
He's been projected as that. But he has some maturity issues, too. And
I'll give you the nod, though. You have a good eye for talent.
He's good. He looks good. But
I like him.
It's Gaines Adams.
I like him.
God rest his soul.
I like him.
Do you think that he translates to the pros?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He'll be fine.
Yeah.
People, but we don't need to spend time talking about
him. People think he could be like Warren Sapp.
Yeah. He's a disruptive
interior defensive lineman who could be a pass rusher.
Could he play end in a 3-4?
I think he probably could.
Yeah, but you'd have to trade.
I don't think it's his best.
And lose some picks to get up there to get him.
Yeah, he's not a Patriot. No,
no.
We don't need to talk about that.
No way.
No, I mean, top three minimum.
Yeah.
We were talking about receivers.
Like, I was really talking about like second and third round
and
types.
Then he goes to the number one overall pick.
No, I'm just everyone's talking about him now.
He hasn't lived him alone. He hasn't gotten to his hour lads yet.
People have been talking about Nick Fairley for a long time, by the way.
I got the booklet now.
Oh, you do have it now.
Yeah.
Our lads?
Do I have it?
I don't know.
I thought
what are you asking us for?
I thought I showed it to you, Paul.
Was it chartreuse?
Yeah. Well, every year, every month, Our Lads comes out with a different color for their newsletter. So you can tell the months apart.
It's their thing. That's what they do.
I think Our Lads has gone down. I'm kind of off
them. I think it sucked all along.
I was going
to say. No, they used to be good.
that your draft Bible last year, Fred?
Yeah. Well, I might get the one you get.
And like in the second round, he's going, they don't even have him listed.
Second round, not even.
The PFW
that's
one.
Not, I don't
best.
Buy that personally, just so you know. The Patriots pay
no,
for
I know.
Those,
I might,
so that's
I want,
ours.
I want my own copy.
It's a why?
Because I don't want to have to walk over there every time I want to look something up.
Oh, all the way over there. Oh, yeah.
What do you look up?
I have things I have
you
to
do research?
Sure.
My research is Andy. Who's that guy from Pitt? And then, Eric and Andy.
Right. And I have to actually answer who it was.
Yeah. Oh,
you bring the name, and then I bring the analysis. We have a good duo here.
And I have him up here. I just don't know the name.
Okay.
But you don't need it except for the draft show, and we'll have it on the draft show.
Oh, leading up to the draft show, I need it.
You don't do anything leading up to the draft show.
I watch
show.
The tape.
You watch like one half of one position.
You do a great job.
You
of
fall in love with fat running backs with big thighs that I tell you suck and are slow, and you go, no. And then they come into the league, and we find out they suck and they're slow, and you go, you were right, Andy.
That is kind of what
Let's
happened last
year
with Gerhardt and
Jonathan Dwyer.
Yeah.
They call him inactive.
Gerhardt was a little...
He's such an
no,
angry little man.
If you recall, I was off Gerhardt by the time the draft started. Remember
no,
that?
No,
like
that
you were off San Francisco after
inaccurate.
Week 2?
That's not really true.
You were off of him once you saw him play for the Vikings. That's when you got off of him.
Remember I said, I don't think he'll be that
That's when he
now.
Got the restraining order taken away.
So. I don't think that's accurate.
Yeah. He is a little bit of a disappointment. Although I don't think he's peaked. I think he'll get better.
He's not a stiff.
Yeah.
No, he'll be all right.
He's not what you wanted him to be. And certainly Jonathan Dwyer wasn't.
Yeah. His speed definitely shows up in the
You like big thighs. It's okay.
I like sturdy running backs.
And he cannot lie.
No, but it's clear. He is
like
drawn.
What was wrong with Earl Campbell? He had big thighs.
There are guys with big thighs that are good. Not all guys with big thighs are good.
But
it's an SAT
he also
question.
Was good at. He was also good for 5 years.
But I'll take the 5 years.
Yeah. Right. I mean, he was
Jonathan
great.
Dwyer's not going to give you any.
He was great for 5 years, but
he'll be a jag and then gone.
Those guys take a lot of hits.
They do, because they're not. You know, they run right into people, and you know. But for those 5 years, boy, I mean, they could. Do
well,
some
if you
damage.
Could be like Earl Campbell,
right.
Sure.
Yeah. If you want to pick a Hall of Famer.
Jim from Eastern Michigan University. Hey guys, hi Eric.
Go screw yourself, Jim.
So I
hope
exposed,
you fail out of college.
I exposed my girlfriend to the show for the first time, and the topic that comes out about is Fred's fly. Her first comment was not even related to the vulgarity of a man topic, but about how she can't understand because you guys are talking over each other.
Shut up.
I love it. She hates it. Keep it up.
She's not ugly. I like her. Just
obsessed. She's kind of hot.
She's thinking about fly fishing with Fred.
If
you know what I mean.
Kuiper wants to know, is Cam Newton, or Strippers wants to know. Is Cam Newton Ben Roethlisberger? Because Kuiper has him going third.
I'm glad you brought that up.
That's an excellent thing that we've all been talking about.
I had said a while ago that Cam Newton reminded me a little bit of Dante Culpepper. And some guy was tweeting yesterday, that's ridiculous. That's just race, people falling in line. It's Ben Roethlisberger. You're an idiot. You don't know anything about Ben Roethlisberger if you make that comment. Ben Roethlisberger was a shotgun, slinging quarterback. His junior year at Miami. He threw the ball 400 and something times. Ran the ball only 60 times all year. Cam Newton, but while throwing for like 4,600 yards. Cam Newton threw for like 2,200 yards, 26, whatever it is. And ran the ball more than 20 times, six different times in games last year. He rushed for 1,000 yards. He was a runner. Ben Roethlisberger was a pure shotgun passer.
No, the reason
in
people
college,
are making
who's
that,
big and can run.
People are making that comparison because he has the same quarterback's tutor as Roethlisberger.
But that's
so that
you're
people are making
a comparison
the easy
about
comparison
a guy. It should be about the skill set.
But
style.
People don't know how to do that.
And to me, it's McNair Culpepper type guy for Newton more than it is.
To me, it's more Culpepper even than McNair, because McNair is never really a big runner. He
could
run.
College he was.
He
in
could
college
run.
He ran a ton.
Yeah.
At
okay.
Alcorn
all right, I'll give you,
and that's
give you a little
I'm,
bit more
I'm trying
that.
To judge it on college, because
I think Culpepper is the perfect comparison. He's a big, like an abnormally big quarterback. Big, thick quarterback.
Easy. Fred's getting excited.
And they can run and have these unbelievable skills to
it's
throw.
Small hands, though.
Roethlisberger Doesn't, is elusive in the pocket.
Small hands, Culpepper?
Oh.
Culpepper what?
Had small hands.
Who told you that?
That's why he fumbled all the time.
It is a common
I didn't know
perception.
That he had.
McNair did too.
I didn't know he had small hands. I didn't know he fumbled all the time.
McNair. Well, he fumbled partially because he kept plays alive like Roethlisberger and then fumbled.
Anyway, I think that the Roethlisberger doesn't run. He's not a good runner. He's a a good mobility guy in the pocket.
Play keeper aliver.
Yeah, and he's so big and strong that you can't get him down all the time in the pocket, and he extends plays. But he's not a runner, per se.
I think this guy was so fixated on breaking the mold of people generally go white receiver to white receiver, black this to black that, that he didn't look at the specifics. I mean, Roethlisberger threw for more than twice as many yards and rushed one-tenth the amount of time. How are you comparing these two guys?
Yeah, I think Roethlisberger was a much more polished passer.
Yep.
Yep. Well, we'll see.
No, what else?
I mean, more accurate would be to compare Newton to Tebow in college.
Yes.
And now, if you want to break your stereotype of racial.
He's white and lefty, black and righty.
Right. And now I would say that, again, Newton is a better polished passer than Tebow was at Florida.
And he's just got a better arm, better motion,
everything. Better everything.
Except
for people aren't better for having met Cam Newton.
That's true. In fact, better check your pockets.
You might be worse.
Right. You might be involved in some investigation after meeting him. But
at least his dad.
Fred, what do you think of him?
Who?
Cam Newton. We like to debate these athletic quarterbacks. They always become
Fred
the hot topics.
Fred doesn't think he's going in the first round.
No, he isn't.
First round at all?
He laughed at me when I said he was going in the first round.
Albert Breer believes he could be considered for the number one overall pick.
Well, Mel Kiper just had him 3. In his mock draft that he just put up 2 seconds ago.
Yeah, it's the Buffalo Bills.
I think Gailey
And I said, you imagine what Bill would do to him?
Potential. Well, I don't know about that. You know what he would do to Rob Ninkovich? Cam Newton?
He's bigger than him.
Why are you giving me the Fred look?
Yeah, run right around him or over him, though.
Yeah.
Is
that the Fred look? How do you
What makes Cam Newton, from what he's done in college, better than Jamarcus Russell?
Well, he's twice the athlete. The running ability, the ability to keep the,
Jamarcus Russell couldn't run.
What makes Rohan Davey and Jamarcus Russell the same guy? They were big lugs with strong arms.
Who couldn't run, yeah. Absolutely.
No accuracy. I think Newton's a more accurate passer, throws a better ball, has a little bit better touch. I think he's a better passer than people give him credit for.
Newton?
Yes.
Newton is a pretty good passer. He's not,
he's not a finished
product by any means, but he's a pretty good college passer.
It's all up here.
It's going
to
be.
That's the comparison between the two, is I don't think Jamarcus Russell had it up here, I'm pointing to my head, and down here, I'm pointing to my heart. And I don't know if Newton has it up there.
Well,
I think
Newton,
he's got it in
Newton
the heart,
definitely has the heart.
Not necessarily in the head.
I've seen enough out of Newton to know that he's got heart. But you never know if these guys can read a defense
so,
and
so
do all that stuff.
Critical for
or
Newton.
If they have to, because there's a chance that his athletic ability is so ridiculous that he plays a similar style and is good enough. I don't know if he'll be a championship quarterback, but he might be able to get away with how good he is at the next level.
You brought up Patrick Peterson.
Tebow do it last year when he had that long touchdown.
Like Michael Vick?
Yeah, a little bit different than Vic, but yes. I think Vic early in his career never learned because why?
He felt like he could get away with it.
I'm faster than him. I beat him to the end zone. I win some games. I go to Pro Bowls. Yeah. Why do you keep telling me to work and learn defenses?
Vic wouldn't stay in the pocket. As soon as he would see an opening, he would take it, no matter if...
Now, Cam Newton's not as fast. He's more of a power runner. That's the difference. But if he gets away with it, that leads them to believe, I've always gotten away with it. I'll continue to.
But just to sit, the scary athleticism that he does have, and you brought up Patrick Peterson earlier. Do you remember the LSU game that we watched? You and I were talking about the touchdown run that Newton had in that game when he unbelievably separated from Peterson in the open field at about the 10-yard line of that game. Gary Danielson, I thought, was going to fall out of the press box when he was calling the game. But that's a special athlete that he's running away from.
Right.
He has...
Might have been when he went and hugged Bo on the sideline.
Jamarcus Russell... Yeah, Jamarcus Russell couldn't run, and now obviously he couldn't.
Would you say it's
couldn't
critical,
read the defense either?
The most critical thing that Newton can do this offseason is do well in those interviews.
That's a big part of it.
That'll be
a big part of it.
And certainly, if he pulls a Devin McCourty and sits down with coaches, and they're surprised by his knowledge of defenses and offenses and reading coverages, not just. Because he's going to get a lot of questions about his dad and all that crap.
I'm not less about that than more.
No, if he can sell people on, like Chad Jackson did, pull the wool over their eyes a little bit and tell them, I can read a defense, that'll go a long way.
Okay.
I'm intrigued to see what he becomes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really intrigued by a guy like that.
We always are, it's Vince Young or Tim Tebow, because he has the least flaws of those types of guys. Because Vince Young had the funny throwing motion. He doesn't have a great arm, and he throws funny. Tim Tebow doesn't have a great arm, and he throws funny.
Motion.
Cam Newton has a great arm and doesn't really throw funny. You just don't know if he's a thrower. But if you look at him, he can throw at an NFL level.
Well, the only thing I notice is that he doesn't always step into his throw. He kind of throws almost parallel to
why?
The line a lot.
Because he's got a cannon.
No, because he can.
Same reason Jay Cutler doesn't always step into his throws. He doesn't have to.
What about accuracy?
He's more accurate, I think, than given credit for. way better than Jamarcus Russell, another guy with a cannon who could get away with not throwing fundamentally. Russell, I mean, do you remember that game in Oakland? When he would throw passes to guys 5 yards away, that would be 5 yards away from the guy.
Oh, yeah.
He was like when you're on the putting green and you start out 5 yards away and then you end up 15 yards away. That's how his throws
ended
up.
One of the video games when you can't judge the speed.
Yeah. I mean, that's what he was. Cam Newton is not that. But he's raw. I mean, he played 1 year of college football at the elite level.
Even that whole, this new age of offense
good discussion
now
on Cam
that everybody's talking about with the college football offenses about the translation, with these spread offenses that these guys are just looking to the sideline, they're getting their adjustments and whatnot, and it's so atypical from what you're going to do in the NFL, right. But I think that's intriguing to see how these guys translate. You know, some of them, Sam Bradford was seamless, same kind of offense.
I never had any doubts.
No, you didn't, Andy, but a lot of other people did.
They're called wrong.
Oh, boy.
This year we gotta keep a list of all his picks so that we can make sure that he
and
gets...
that's exactly why between now and
he's really
next
setting
fall
himself up this year.
I'm gonna beat this dead horse because I might not have the horse to beat next fall. If I go 0 for the spring, I'll have nothing to say.
You will.
I know, but I'll pretend I won't.
Brooklyn Matt says,
being wrong has never stopped you from crowing.
it rarely happens. So.
Brooklyn Matt has another real life story. This guy's been around. Brooklyn Matt.
So he says.
He says,
and Sam is a woman.
I can't show where you're wrong with your finance rant, but you mentioned Trump. In the late 80s, I used to work for the Donald. In the mornings, I'd show up with my mirrored shades on in the lobby, and the security guards would say, go on up, Joe Cool. I'd go up to the private 27th floor, hang out in the reception area, and shoot the breeze with the hot receptionist and Trump's limo driver. Hey, Paul, remember the late 80s when the Trumpster was thinking about buying the Patriots? Well, I campaigned hard for him to pull the trigger and make the move. He said to me, I think I'm going to take a pass on that. True story.
I don't remember him.
I don't remember Trump ever being
involved in the Patriots. I remember his involvement in the USFL.
Yeah.
And when he ruined it.
Small potatoes. Yeah, that 30 for 30 was
maybe
excellent.
That's why we never heard of it, because he told Brooklyn Matt, I'm going to pass
on that. Brooklyn Matt says he worked for me. He just says he hung out in the reception area.
Yeah, doing what?
What did he do?
Don't ask. No-show job?
Maybe he delivered things to him?
Brooklyn Matt also just showed his idiocy. He agreed with me on my theory to just tell China we're not paying you back. There's got to be. I don't know what it is, but I know it's flawed somehow. Otherwise, I'm sure some smart men would have thought of it by now.
Probably some nuclear warheads that might be involved in that would dissuade people from.
Yeah, but we have the most nuclear warheads,
yeah, we're just
right?
not going to pay you back.
Do we have the most nuclear warheads?
Yes, we do.
That are known of.
Yeah, I mean, Russia might have some that we don't know about, but.
I fear the ones I don't know about more than I fear the ones
sure.
I know about.
Sure.
You don't want to be sucker punched by a nuclear warhead.
Yeah. Let's see. Mike in Rhode Island. I'd like to see the Pats take J.J. Watt in the 17th pick.
What?
At defensive end.
He's a riser.
End.
I'm intrigued by him, too, at defensive end, but I want no defensive end.
This guy is a freakish athlete, and the thing I've been most impressed with is watching him is his ability to shed blocks at the right time to make stops in the running game or quarterbacks trying to break the pocket.
That's key.
Who are you talking about?
J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt, who
he
Kuiper
plays
now
for
has
Wisconsin
in the sixth. Eric. Now, do you have him as an end, or are you transitioning him to outside linebacker?
I don't want any part of J.J. Watt.
Wow. Why? What he ever
like
do
him.
To you?
I don't like him.
He's not a bad
guy. I got the same feeling I get from Mikel LeSueur.
Imagine if the guy who used to work on this show was talking about J.J. Watt.
Watt.
You know what? About
you know
Watt?
It's a pretty good bet that he'd hate him, just so you know.
Oh, of course he would.
Can't play.
But Kuiper had him at 6 in his current...
That's garbage.
Rising mock draft. I think he's going to be a good player.
That old Model T Ford horn just
that's
really
exactly
gets
what
going.
It sounds like.
that's better than... He gets...
Now Andy's mad.
No, he's mad.
You
don't, Andy Hart mad.
You don't have a signature laugh because you don't laugh enough.
And then Eric says, they're not the only ones that laugh on the show.
No, I only have about 75 other ridiculous drop-ins.
No, stop telling lies. You are an habitual liar.
Can you about that
cue
day.
Up...
drink to get drunk?
No, punch him till he stops breathing. I want Paul to regret the day
we really have that?
Yeah, and I want you to regret the day you ever said that.
Why?
Because it's a ridiculous thing to say.
I thought he said
I would have murdered him.
Because I wanted to fight a guy?
Yeah. You wanted to murder him!
Much like as Fred said earlier in the show... When you write it and say that I listen to PFW in progress over having sex, we assume that's a joke. Can we assume?
Oh no, you were fired up.
That I didn't really want to actually kill a person.
You would have killed him. You would have tried.
All I think
I wanted to fight him.
Wasn't there? I'd still be on him, pounding the shit out of him.
Okay, and he just swore.
I would be. I wanted to fight him.
He doesn't
him.
Have the extra
I don't
clip
take,
of him saying stop breathing.
I don't take that back. That's I wanted the, to fight the guy.
Yeah. Terribly that day?
Poop. They played like. Oh,
yeah. Poop. You two said poop back in 46. Poop.
But he's willing to say beat the shit out of somebody.
Well, that was intentional. I said that totally on purpose.
So no emails from Gabe today?
Kind of like when he
no,
was just
no,
the other
Gabe, is, Gabe is no longer oh. a fan.
You know how those people are. They listen. He wants to, because he knows we read his emails.
As
so
Willie
McGinnis
would say, you say you're not listening, but you know you're listening.
Yes, right. He wants to hear what we said about him and his ugly girlfriend and everything. And there's one way to clarify this, by the way, and clean this whole mess up.
Croc Dundee test?
Send us a
send
picture.
A picture of your girlfriend. If she's hot, I'll say she's hot. I'm very objective in that area.
But then we also wonder why she's last on the totem pole.
Well, then he's gay.
He said he was making a joke about Fever Pitch, that was a line from
yeah,
the movie.
Yeah, supposedly that was a line from...
okay, well, it was a joke.
The epic movie Fever Pitch.
He's quoting Fever Pitch.
Not to be confused with Beaver
That's
Itch.
Why his name is Gay.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
All right, well, that's going to do
that's
it for
it?
This
really?
Edition
oh.
of
we do another hour?
No.
Oh, we have a meeting.
Yeah.
With who?
Me.
Him.
Fred.
Pre-summit.
All right.
It's been rescheduled 8 times.
Let's see.
We need to discuss the meeting. I love it.
We're going to the Combine next week.
Combine next week. When
so
are you guys
just
leaving?
You and, we're leaving Wednesday.
Wednesday.
But we're not here Tuesday, so it's
why not?
Be there Thursday.
I have a day off.
I get surgery.
I'll be here.
What are you getting surgery on?
I'm not getting surgery. My wife is.
I'll be here, Fred.
All right.
So I promise not to argue with you.
All right. Next week. Are we calling in from Indy next Thursday? You want us to call?
Yeah,
in?
Yeah. Paul and I will see you next Tuesday.
That'll do it. Another PFW in progress. We'll be back next week.
But we gave it our best.
Yes. And I guess your best wasn't good enough.
Patriots.com Radio.
I did my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough.